Morning.
Morning, Chairperson.
Greetings, everybody. I just want to check if I see a lot of people on the platform.
How are you, Chairperson?
Good, good, Honourable Mayeni. How are you doing?
I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, Revenue.
Good, good, good. Greetings, everybody. Mr. Kunene, I just want to check if we are ready to start, if we have quorum. It is 9:30, so I don't want to delay.
Chairperson?
Honourable Eto?
I see that you, I almost thought it's Honourable Kruger with extra gas, but you're looking very nice, eh?
Yeah, a friend of mine from Germany gave it to me, so I feel obligated to wear it. I normally don't do these strikdas, but you know, you have to do things sometimes. So, but I still got my scarf on, so I don't know. I'm not going to a ball, but I'm ready to have the meeting.
We must have humiliated the DA.
You look gefaarlijk, Chairman. You look gefaarlijk.
Well, Hendricks, Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing?
Well, wow, you mustn't...
Thank you.
You mustn't imitate the DA symbols. You must use the watermelon. Not the daytime.
Organize me a watermelon. If you can over a watermelon, the time, honorable Hendrik, I think there's some pockets by having some watermelon ties. Welcome everybody, I see there's quite a bit of people. Let me first greet the honourable members on the platform, our honourable whip, honourable Sami Lang. Is the secretary in so that we can maybe start? I think he... be business-like and start. Okay, there we have it. There's a program in front of us. If quorum and if we can start.
Morning, Chair.
Morning.
I think we do form a quorum. Can start.
Okay, great. Okay, greetings everybody and good morning. Formally, the meeting is now officially open. This is the Portfolio Committee of Small Business of Parliament. Welcome each and every one of you that's on the platform. We also say a special word of welcome to people, South Africans who's following us and the public who's following us on the audio-visual streams, the YouTube Parliament Live, as well as all the other platforms and Parliament TV. Thank you for joining. I want to do a special word of welcome to our members, honourable members of all the political parties. Welcome to the platform. It's my first official meeting as the newly elected chair of the Portfolio Committee. I also want to congratulate the WIP, Honourable Sromi Lang, for her appointment. We wish everybody well in the positions. we also still remember with great fondness the legacy of Ma Sizwela, our former chairperson of this portfolio committee. And we will continue to work together in a united, professional way to fulfill her legacy. So with that, I want to welcome everybody and also outline the purpose of today's meeting. Today's meeting is a jam-packed meeting. We're getting briefings from quarter two and quarter three performance report of the department. The Department of Small Business and Development, they will come and account to us as part of our constitutional responsibility to provide oversight for the entities. So it will be we'll start with CEDA, CIFA, and then the department, and then we'll allow members to engage. So that's the essence of the meeting. We also didn't adopt the minutes of last sets of minutes, so we will also have to go through a few sets of minutes at the end. So that's the proposed purpose of the meeting. Before I call for the adoption of the agenda, I just want to allow the Secretariat, Mr. Kunene, to take us through a roll call and apologies.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, officials from the department, DGs, chairperson of the entities, and then the officials from the department and all the entities. Chairperson, in the platform here, we've got from the honorable members, we've got Honorable Mieni, we've got Honorable Hendricks, we've got Honorable Stapert, we've got Honorable De Villiers, we've got Honorable Tomelang, we've got Honorable Zungula, and we've got Honorable Nkosi Ulchuli. And then we had apologies, a standing apology from Honorable Kroger, which indicated that he's first taken a family leave due to the illness of the wife. And we've got also an apology for Honorable Lubengo, who is joining the SCOPA, then indicated that should they finish ELA, she'd come back and join the site. Then from the department, we've got an apology from the deputy minister, and then also from the minister, which indicated that she is in cabinet. However, she will try to join within the meeting, so shall see whether she was able to come back to our meeting. So those are the apologies that we have, Chairperson. So what I've observed, I've seen the platform, the DG is we in the platform, so we shall hear from her whether the minister was able to join or will she be the one who is leading the delegation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Kunene. I also want to do a special word of welcome to our new member, Honorable Nuran Miller. I did see her on the platform. So Nuran has been recently appointed and also deployed to our portfolio committee. So welcome, Nuran. I just want to get an indication if you can put your camera on and get hello quickly.
I can. Thank you so much. Thank you, Comrade Chairperson. I'm not sure why the video is not going on Zoom. I'm not sure what. Good morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Apology, Mr. Chairperson. I was not aware. I didn't mention it, so I was not aware. The new member of the committee.
Okay.
Thank you, Ben. To you, Mr. Jacobs. I've handed over to you, Mr. Jacobs.
Thank you very much. My apologies, I think I got cut momentarily. I think we're all back on. Welcome. I wish you success to this portfolio committee. We want to wish everybody and welcome everybody on the platform. I also saw Honorable Zongula, who's also a member of this portfolio committee. So again, welcome to everybody, each and everyone, and also the guests. You are welcome to have observer status. This is a public space, but it's only for members of Parliament to engage with the relevant stakeholders that has been invited. I want to now call for the adoption of the agenda formally. So members, with that roll call and with that apology duly noted, I open the floor for the adoption of the agenda.
Chairperson.
Honourable Mayeni.
That's Honourable Mayeni. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I want just to adopt the agenda.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Honourable Mayeni. Seconder?
Must move for adoption because nobody moved for it. Then
I second the move by Honourable
Mayeni. I also note the hand of the whip.
No, I'm covered, Chair. I'm covered.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
So with that, move and seconded, the adoption, the minute is duly adopted. Now we want to invite the department. I can't check if the minister's in, but I did see the DG, DG Manzini. Welcome. We're going to invite you just to lead the delegation. So the platform is yours. Welcome again, DG. DG, can you hear me?
Yes, Chairperson, the Zoom. I was trying hard to, I don't know if you can see me. I tried to open the camera.
Now we can see you. Now we can see you clearly.
All right, thank you very much. And yes, indeed, Minister is attending to a cabinet meeting, but I was also informed that she will try and make time to come and join this meeting. But in the meantime, while the Minister is juggling between the two meetings, I was asked to lead the delegation. And thank you very much, Chairperson. I will take guidance from you. Thank you.
Please proceed. I think we know that the cabinet every Wednesday, so please proceed. You lead your delegation and we'll follow.
Thank you very much. According to the agenda, Chairperson, it does show that the first presentation for the day will be SIDA, and the SIDA CEO and the Chairperson and their leadership are on the call. And I will then request Chairperson that they make the presentation. And for all of us, it is the Q2 and the Q3, as the Chairperson has said in the opening remarks. And we will allow, through you, Chairperson, Sita to present. I don't know if it's the Chair or it is the CEO that is making the presentation. Or maybe the Chair would like to make some opening remarks. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, let's allow the Chair. Chairperson of CEDA, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, host of the Portfolio Committee. We really appreciate the invitation and very much appreciate also the opportunity to share our performance for quarter two and three. As you would know, with regards to that, we've got our CEO online who's having his team with him, but I think he'll be the only one presenting for us with regards to that. So, Mr. Mbata, over to you. Take the committee through our wonderful successes and the work that we're doing for the whole of South Africa to enhance economic growth and job creation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to the committee members. Kim, if you may please allow me to share.
Yes, so may CEO.
Thank you. I will also Chair, just open my video a little bit and then we'll request to close it for bandwidth purposes. I'm not sure if I'm visible on your side, but just to confirm that this is a real person talking on the other side. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson and the committee members, I greet you. DG, chairs of the board, colleagues, you are greeted this morning. I am here to present quarter two and quarter three for CEDA. Can you could just confirm if my screen is visible so that I can start?
Yes, Mr. Mbata, it's visible.
Okay. Thanks again, Chairperson and the committee members, Honorable Chairman and the committee and honorable members. I would like to present the quarter two. I also understand that, as the chairperson has said, it's quite a hectic and a busy day because we're reporting on two quarters. But I will try to give as much details, but also to move to the next presentation as well, so that not a lot of time is wasted as directed. But I would start with quarter two. This is just the outline, honourable members, of what I'll be presenting today. I will just go straight to it. For quarter two, as CEDA, as an organisation, we were managing 16 indicators that we were supposed to report on as an organisation for quarter two. I must say that Chairperson and Honourable Chair and Honourable Members were able to achieve 15 of the 16 indicators that we were measuring ourselves or our performance against, which resulted in the 94% performance for quarter two in terms of what we were mandated to achieve or do as an organisation. So quarter two was a good quarter. Only one target or one indicator was missed, which was the trade mission. But I will get into it as I'm continuing to present. And so I will then present the dashboard and then the detailed report in terms of the variance, mainly for what we're not able to achieve, which is the trade mission. But an overall performance for the second quarter was at 94%. Chairperson, this is the Honourable Chair, this is the dashboard in terms of the summary of the indicators that we were able to achieve. We did a lot of sessions on entrepreneurship awareness. I'll start from the left-hand side. A lot of sessions on entrepreneurship awareness across the country. We're able to reach out to 9,382 people, SMEs and cooperatives and people across the country in our entrepreneurship awareness session where we teach them on how to start a business, how to manage a business, but also teaching them on various products that are available within the portfolio and other DFIs, including tax issues and the like. That is available in the country, and we were able to achieve 9,382 against the target of 7,000. On the township and rural clients that we were able to support, which is the second one, with a target of 5,400, we were able to assist 6,729 township businesses in terms of our network. Chairperson and the members know that we've got about 53 branches in the country, and we're able to do this work because we've got the 53 branches in the country, and also we have the access points, which at this point we're sitting at 80, which are in rural areas and townships. So we're able now to reach out to the townships and rural businesses through the various network that we have. On the trade missions, which is the third one, is the one that we're
were not able to achieve. We had a target of 150. We were able to only do 86. The trade machine is where we expose or we take SMMEs in the country to international trade fairs where they are able to sell their businesses. This work comes from years of working with clients. The clients that we take to international trips are the clients that we've worked with over a period of time. We've prepared their products, meet the requirements, certification, the health, if it's the food products, they meet the health requirements of the various countries. Their packaging is on point. So these are the clients that would have assisted throughout. So then we're able to take them through these to represent South Africa to sell their products. And we've seen some success stories in terms of this, but I would just deal with that later. On international trade missions in terms of exposure, these are the clients that we are preparing now to take to trade missions. We're able also to achieve our target. I will not go to each and every one of them because we're able to achieve these targets, but on the right-hand side, we're dealing more on the productivity improvement. First one is the incubation support. Our incubation model continues to be a success. We're able to see an SMME through and our incubation program with 110 incubators across the country, and we're able to then assist SMMEs in these incubators in terms of idea development, you know, to product perfection. We assist them with space for them to be able to perfect and get their ideas right. As leader through the department, we are able then to pay for everything that they need while they are in the incubation programs until the ideas are ready for the market. We also teach them how to, you know, pitch their ideas into the market from a marketing point of view. We teach them how to do their financials and to make sure that they are able to do reporting. We teach them on ethics. We teach them on business management and other things that we teach them in the incubation space. So in the quarter, we had 1,307 incubators or SMEs in our incubation centers across the country. Quality and productivity improvement, I always mention this one. This is where we assist the clients to improve their production, achieve production efficiencies in terms of their factory layout, and also making sure that they are able to save money in their production process. And we're able to achieve that target as well. Quality improvement, that talks to product quality, that it meets the requirements of the market and standards of the market. And we do put expect to go and assist these businesses, and we're able to achieve that target. We've got what we call priority sectors as well, where we are targeting these businesses for scale up, for them to grow. So we're putting a lot of funds into them to grow. So because they are in special or in specific high growing sectors. Training and mentorship is our bread and butter. This is what we are known for as well in the market. We're able to train at least 7,482 SMEs in terms of various kinds of training, mentorship, as well as coaching within quarter two. So this highlights the work really that we did within the quarter, and we're able then through our network and through our branches to achieve these results. Chairperson, this is just more of a summary in terms of the spending. I'll just touch base on spending that we're able to, we just a little bit overspent on quarter two. We spent 194.7 million, but I will get into the details later on. But we're catching up also on quarter one, because quarter one had an under spending as well. But I think I've talked about the branches and the incubation centers and access points. So I would just probably move to the next slide, just with the permission. This is just a breakdown of our township clients in terms of what we're able to do and clients that we're able to reach out to. That in terms of 3,958 of them were women-owned businesses, 2,875 were male, and 3,081 were youth businesses and 292 persons with disabilities, which are spreading out the township businesses that were able to assist in terms of youth, male, females, and GWD. Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson and members, in terms of the total clients that were able to reach out, you can see that the previous site was upon township, but this one is more on targets on women, youth, PWD, and you can see that we're able to achieve the on target for women-owned businesses, we're able to achieve that target. The target for youth businesses, we're also able to achieve that target. We're still behind on the PWD target. We're not able to achieve that target, but on quarter three, I will also show what we did in quarter three in trying to get closer to this target, all the events that we did in that quarter. Chairperson, the performance of quarter two versus quarter two in the previous year, there was a huge improvement. Where in the previous year we achieved 76%, in the current year then we achieved 94% from a performance point of view. These are the details, Chairperson, then of the dashboard that I was presenting, and I would not repeat, but this talks to the awareness sessions which I spoke about, and just focusing more on the year-to-date target, that we are, you know, exceeding the year-to-date target, and the number of rural businesses that we've been able, and townships that have been able to assist on a year-to-date, also we are above target. I've spoken to quarter two achievements, so I'll focus on the last column, and in terms of enterprises supported for local markets, we also had a target of 1,250 by end of quarter two. We were at 1,407 businesses that we had been able to support to access and to participate in local markets. This we do through various interventions, including the pop-up markets that we pay for to allow clients to showcase and sell their products at the various shopping centers and various places within the country, which has proven to be a success. We are also seeing partners coming through like your SASO supporting this venture. We are also talking to the property sector where we are trying to look at discounted rates to allow our SMEs to occupy spaces in various shopping centers at a lower price in the beginning, and ramping it up only when they start selling products. So we are actually we had last meeting with them 2 weeks ago. We are pushing for that to take place, so we can allow more of SMEs to occupy spaces in the retail properties without having to pay a lot of rentals as they start their business. So then we can work on affordability. And the other part is more on international market readiness, so we prepare them to sell their products. This one is one of the preparing clients to sell their products in the international market. It's one of the expensive interventions that we do, because to sell in international market involves quite a lot of regulations, and the client must be able to meet those regulations. So we don't. So the clients that we assist in this space are more clients that have shown significant growth and that have shown a lot of resilience, but also that have products that can be sold in international markets. While we look as an organization for market opportunities for these SMEs, then those that fit a particular market were able then to expose them, and were able to allow them to do B2B meetings as well, international counterparts, so that then they're able to sell their products to international markets. We've got some great success stories coming from the clients that went to Mauritius, who some of them are now doubling their production because they are exporting their goods, including wine and other products, which is working well under our SheTrade program. apologies for that. I think I moved too quickly. So as I was saying, due to the planned events and some of the networking based in Q3, the internet, the trade missions were not able to meet the target. But you note that when I do Q3, the target, then we're able to meet where we're able to take in Q3. And now in Q4, we're also taking more SMEs because there's more international events where they can showcase and be able to sell their products. So in Q4, we're able to meet, in Q3, we're able to meet the target, and we are doing everything now in Q4 to make sure that the annual target and that the SMEs are then exposed to these international markets. I spoke about mentorship and coaching, Jefferson. I would not repeat. The incubation, I spoke about it. I would not repeat. I spoke about quality improvement, but noting that on a year-to-date target, we are also above the target. Jefferson, I will move because I did the summary of these of the indicators. I will just go straight to the next section of the report, which is how we are in terms of an organization from a representation in the provinces. We still below in terms of the vacancy rate, we're still below the 10%, we're at 8% across the organization. Even though it's not as easy, but our HR is recruiting on a daily basis, given that we still have employees resigning, mainly because we are not able to offer the permanent positions. So the ones that come in on contract, they normally don't stay for too long. They find opportunity somewhere else, and they don't stay for longer in the organization. So which keeps the vacancy rate high, but we're managing it. But one must then state that, you know, that delays service delivery. But we are grateful that we almost at the tail end of the merger and will be able to stabilize the new entity and make sure that we're able to employ on a permanent basis. This is just how our employees are looking like in the various regions. We've got our total headcount was at 653 at the end of September, and the slide just depicts how the core functions of the business, which is the Enterprise Development Division, which is where all our branches are, and the SCP, which is the strategic program, which is where our incubation programs are. And we try to make sure then that we balance the staff properly between the main division and the support division. In terms of the permanent employees, we're sitting at 79% and 21% was temp employees. This is the percentage that keeps moving all the time as people get permanent jobs somewhere else. But as I said, Jefferson mentioned, we are grateful that we are at the end of the merger and we'll be able to stabilize the organization. And we have 67% of our employees sitting in the provinces or working in the provinces, and only 27 are based in Zimbabwe. And we have 60% female representation, and only 40% of our staff is male. And this is racial profile. I will not take my time because I still have Q2 to deal with. Chairperson, we still have the budget at the end of quarter two of 1.1 billion as an organization, and I'll get to the spending. We in the quarter were able to spend 171 million on core business, which is 58%, which is above the target of 75%, and we only spent 23.14 on support, which is 12%, which is above, which is also below the 25% target that we had set. So we're doing well in terms of how we're spending the funds. I will not go into details on the breakdown, but I wanted to just say that expenditure-wise, at the end of the second quarter, we had spent 194.7 for the quarter, which is July to September. which were against the budget of 187.56 million. We had an overspending of just 7.22 million, and mainly because we were also catching up from quarter one, which we had underspent. And in total, as at the end of that financial year, we just if you look at April to September, overall we're sitting with an underspending of 1.08%. That's why I was saying in quarter two we're also trying to catch up. You see, in quarter three we also did catch up on the 1.08%, even though we're sitting with a little bit of overspending. On the invoices, we're able to pay 99.9% of our invoices, which are the number of invoices were 3,191 invoices, which we paid within 30 days, amounting to 114.53 million. Those 3,191 invoices were able to pay within 30 days. We are working towards the 100% on this, but it's just sitting at 99.9% at the end of the quarter. This is the breakdown in terms of how the 194 million was spent across the organization and in the provinces, of which 18.4 million went to the Eastern Cape, 14.28 million was in Free State, 17.4 million was spent in Gauteng, 18.73 million was spent in KZN, 14.78 million was spent in Limpopo, 12.37 million was spent in Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, 10.88 million, Northwest, 12.41 million, and Western Cape, 21.62 million. And the net of this, then, 53.86 million. This includes our STP and incubation program that's at the national office. Money is paid to the incubators as well, included in that amount. That is the provincial spend. And Western Cape having the most branches in South Africa, mainly, at CEDA, mainly because of the previous issue of where we had to take over some of the branches. On governance, the Honourable Chair and members were able to have our board meetings, our audit committee meetings, our strategy and operational performance committee meetings. All these meetings did take place during the second quarter, which shows that the organization is healthy from a governance point of view, and the board meetings and the board subcommittee meetings do sit to make the necessary decisions for the organization. And these are the matters that the board looked into and reviewed during the quarter. And these are just our marketing events, and I would not spend a lot of time because I'm trying to get to the Q3 as well, but we did a lot of events across the country, like 9 provincial pop-up markets that we did where we're exposing our clients and were able to sell their products, and we did a lot of outreach programs. I would not take a lot of time. And Jefferson, with your permission, if you may allow me to then go to Q3, and these are just the key projects, I'll spend more time on the key projects in the third quarter report. I'm not sure, Jefferson, if I may.
Yes, please proceed, CEO.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I'm just going to share the Q3 presentation. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, this is the Q3 presentation for the period ending 31st December. I will then go through it. In this quarter, Chairperson, we were measured against a total of 19 indicators as an organisation for Q3. We were able to achieve 84.2% of these indicators. In the third quarter, we underperformed on 3 indicators, and I'll go into detail on these indicators later, but those were the jobs created,
the township businesses and the cooperative program. But I will go into details and talk about the remedial action on this. Chairperson, the presentation looks similar in terms of the look and feel. If you may allow me to just focus on the ones that we're not able to achieve, and maybe deal with those more, and then instead of dealing with everything as well on this presentation like I did in the previous presentation. But I wanted to just highlight that we had missed on the trade missions in the previous quarter. We're able to then catch up, and then we're able to take more SMEs to international markets to give them exposure into the international market places, so for them to be able to sell their products. So we're able to achieve that. On the township and rural base, the plan, we had a target of 3,600. We were only able to do 3,594. We only missed the target by six SMMEs for this quarter, but we're able to do as 3,594 with just a number of six missing the target by just a number of six. We had an issue with one of the access points which was not operating efficiently, and we since closed that access point, and we advertised for someone else to be able to assist us in terms of reaching out on this. But on here today, we are still ahead on these numbers, but we missed this number just by six clients. And this is one target that we've made it clear to the team, and the board has made it clear to myself that it's not a target that you can miss, even if it's missed by just a number of steps. We should be able to achieve this target all the time, as we have in the past, and in the past few years, the first time that we narrowly missed this target. So it remains our priority target, and we'll make sure we catch up with this steps, just number of steps, in quarter four, and we're able to achieve this target as the need is there in the township and the rural areas. But I just want to emphasize that it's the first time, but also we just missed it by just six lines. We will then recoup, regroup, and make sure that we are able to. First of the targets, as I mentioned, incubation, productivity improvements, and so forth, have been met. I'll get to the cooperative development support program, which is the one that we're supposed to do, and we missed that target. I do want to explain to the committee that indeed we got the funding, CEDA to issue grants to the cooperative. We took the quarter three, we then took the program through the approval structures within the organization. We're not able to then advertise in December for this, for us to be able to start the program, but we did advertise in, now in January, or during quarter four, as I mean, just put it like that, and we've closed the applications. We are busy adjudicating this. We will make sure then that the funds are utilized and that the cooperatives have the funds by, or the equipment that they need by the end of March 2024. So we've done the advert, we've gone out, and we'll achieve we'll catch up and achieve the entire target in this quarter to make sure that the funds that have been given to CEDA for cooperatives are fully utilized. And we narrowly missed the jobs created, mainly because the economy subdued, the interventions that we had didn't create the anticipated number of jobs. We are also looking at more job-creating sectors, so that we make sure then that our interventions get jobs without ignoring the other sectors as well. So we're finding a balance to make sure that we do focus on the job creating sectors while servicing and serving all the SMEs that we need to service in the country. We are happy to say that from a job sustainability point of view, our SMEs supported by CEDA continue to sustain jobs during the third quarter under the difficult economic conditions, but they were able to sustain 2,281 jobs with a target of 1,500, so which is good for the employees and good for the SMEs as well, as they continue to show
resilience. As far as the rest of the staff, we're able then to meet those targets, Jefferson. And the spending over the course was 127 million. As I indicated, that was the liberal part spending in quarter one, but also we're sitting at just a little bit of overspending in this quarter, and mainly because of catch-up, but I will also just deal with that in detail in the slides later. Chairperson, this is a normal breakdown of our clients in terms of trust, in terms of women, youth. You can see that the women and youth businesses are still being prioritized within the organization, even in township and rural areas. And we still continue to achieve our target of 30% of youth-owned businesses. We exceeded the 30% as shown, and the women-owned businesses also exceeded the 40% as leader. We do a lot of work for women-owned and youth-owned businesses in terms of our portfolio, and what we are trying to do as well as an organization, we do prioritize women and youth-owned businesses. As also we have specific programs, for example, for women, which is a program that exposes our SMEs to international markets, and is only targeting women-owned businesses that we polish, nourish, and then we're able to take and sell their products overseas. As I was making an example of the women-owned businesses that is now doubling its production because they got more orders when they went to Mauritius through the SheTrade program. It's the comparison of previous quarter, previous financial year quarter to quarter. We just dropped a little bit on this quarter from 89.5% in the previous year, similar quarter, to 84.2%. Jefferson, this details the reasons for the variances and what we're going to do in this quarter, which we already are doing. The six on the township and rural businesses, then the six SMEs that we missed, mainly because as a result of the service access point that was underperforming, and we had some vacancies in the Guruleni branch, which reduced service delivery, but we are working on making sure that we capacitate that branch to make sure that we have the right people with the right mindset to assist us gear this work forward. As I indicated, it was the target of six as well as missed, but if you look at the year to date, we are still ahead of the target of 14,433 as at the end of the quarter. Again, I spoke about the cooperatives in terms of this cooperative program. We did issue the call and we did close the call, and this was prepared coming to the third quarter, to the fourth quarter, but we have updated that we have issued the call and closed the call and adjudicating, and we are also working together with CIFA to see how together we can use all the funds between CIFA and CIFA to fund the properties, which may result in additional calls being made to make sure that all the funds between the two entities are then utilized for the cooperatives. Through in terms of jobs created, Jefferson has explained due to the subdued economic conditions, where the programs were not able to create sufficient jobs to meet that by 7-8, but here today we're still on par to achieve the target that we had set. We're still above the target for the three quarters combined. The person, I will then move to the human resource. This is just a breakdown of the employees across the provinces, and the issue of permanent staff that are fixed. We're keeping, you can see that it's remaining around the same in terms of fixed and permanent. It hasn't moved much during the third quarter in terms of the percentage split. We have our 7% of our employees on core business and 21% on support. And still, in terms of gender profile and in terms of employees, employees with or employees with disabilities. We have 3% of that being females and 1% being males. And this is the racial profile in the age group. I'll get to the numbers. At the end of the quarter, we had a budget of 1.14 billion rand. And we, for the quarter, we spent 194.5 million on core business, and we've only 32.6 million on support business. Further breakdown of that is that we spent 227.1 million in the quarter three, versus a budget of 221 million, resulting in an overspending of just 5.1 million. We think that on year to date, from April to December, we just 0.08% overspend, which is a minor variance. We'll make sure then that by end of quarter four, everything balances, because sometimes you realize that we can't say no to services that need to offer to clients when they need the services at that point in time. So we have to pay for those services, and it may result to just overspending, but we're managing it to make sure that it's not too high. And at 9.98% of invoices were paid within 30 days, which is 3,558 this time, amounting to 114.5 million. On, there's 4 invoices that were paid late, and those are small invoices amounting to just 243 rand, which is more also on the overcharged interest. So those were minor, but we're working, and but also we do issue fines and warning to employees that don't pay invoices on time. This is the spending per province. Again, it breaks down how much we spend in each province, from Eastern Cape to the Western Cape, with the Eastern Cape 41 million, Free State 28, Gauteng 14, KwaZulu-Natal 37 million, Limpopo 30 million, Mpumalanga 27, Northern Cape, again with 27, Northwest with 31 million of the spending, and Western Cape at 39.6 million. National office, including in the papers, 77 Chairperson, I think on the quarter two, I didn't speak much on the audit, but in quarter two we did receive an unqualified audit as it was presented by AG to the committee with minor, with rather findings on performance information and incubation, which is what we are remedying at this point in time. And we have our system now running for the performance information. The third quarter report was reported straight from the system for the third time, which has not been implementing for the past 2 years. And now it's waiting to solve the problems that AG has been raising. We are, third quarter was reported from the system, and the fourth quarter was reported from the system. We anticipate that probably if there are any issues, this year will be the last year where there's any audit issues, and as we'll be fully implementing and using the system for the full financial years from the 1st of April 2024. So the 2024-25 financial year would not have problems. But also we've done a lot to make sure that we don't have issues for this current financial year. But as I said, the system only started operating in the third quarter, and we are reporting all the data from that operating system, which is good for the organization. We had meetings on governance and compliance. I will not go into details. And we had our marketing event. On key projects, I wanted to just show the project that we are doing together with different organizations for persons with disabilities. We did quite a lot of work in the quarter. We did work in the Mzimu local municipality, where we did an awareness session, and we also participated in CEDA, providing information and also providing services in terms of what we do, so that we are able to encourage the persons with disabilities to then apply for the program, and some of them to start programs. I will not go into detail on all of them, but also we did work on with Tabumafutma Sanyana branch, where we had hosted 52 entrepreneurs with disabilities, and we train them on startup, on business startup on the 1st of November 2023. And in feedback, it was 28 of them. And we make sure that we train them. And that is our partnership with NHBRC to enhance skills in this space. We did work in Harib as well, where we had sessions as well in Harib. We had sessions in Waterberg. We did MPTECH training in Zanin, and these are all for persons with disabilities. We did a lot of programs together with the different partners, and we on the second last one, we had these entities displaying the products that they produce. About 80 of these clients displaying their products. So we're making our way towards trying to make sure that we do work in this space, and we're able to target SMEs in this space, and we're able to then get them into the mainline and get the entrepreneurs to receive the same services that everyone is receiving. So we'll continue with this work in different provinces. Chairperson, the rest of the case studies I will not go into. I just wanted to highlight those programs as well. Chairperson, having said that, I thank you, and we therefore request the adoption of these by the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, CEO Bata, and also Chairperson Taku. Or very comprehensive. I thought I'd let you just go through everything. I haven't restricted you, so thank you very much for that. Now, I want to invite members. Is there someone on the platform? Now, I would like to invite members, if there is any questions, to CEDA. I think the format, we've agreed that we'll do one presentation and questions, or are we going to take all the three entities and only do questions at the end? Please guide me. Oh, we said, okay. Thanks a lot. So let's, yes, whoop.
Well, my hand was up. Usually we get all the presentation. I was suggesting that can we go through all the presentations so that when we come to the deliberations, recommendation and questions, we are done with the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Yes, I can see the agenda now. So let's, without waste time, invite the Chair and the CEO of SIPA to make the
Chair,
next...
Can I just say something before you start with SIPA?
Okay.
Just to let the committee know, we have our standard board meetings scheduled for today, so we shifted it to 1 o'clock to ensure that we participate in the portfolio committee. So in case we have to answer questions, we'd really appreciate to answer before we start the board meeting. Thanks very much, Chair.
No, we'll try to accommodate you, but we'll definitely be finished before one. There's also a parliament sitting later on, so let's accommodate. We'll ask the others. We gave you about an hour now, but let's invite CIFA to try to do it in less. Chair of CIFA and CEO of CIFA, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. This is Thembinko Sibona again, the Chair. I will not waste too much time and allow the CEO to make the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. CEO, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Chair and members. Good morning, everybody. The honorable members, the chairperson, the chairs of the public entities, and also the colleagues from the department, and also the colleagues from CEDA. Chair, I hope my screen. Is the
Everything is on track. We can see and hear you. Please proceed. Yes,
my audible, sir?
Yes, yes, yes. Please proceed.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You are.
When you ask, please, when you ask the question, you are audible. When you are supposed to speak, you are not audible.
Just speak to you. We can hear you. Please proceed.
Thank you. I'll be quick, sir. We've got a one because the got a two rather. It has been really overtaken by events of got a three, and I'll spend more time rather on got a three, sir. I won't waste the time really with giving the economic background. I think we're all aware of the challenges that our economy faces, particularly around the issues of load shedding, the inflation that we're facing as a country, the logistics challenges that businesses face, and also the high levels of unemployment, which have a direct impact on the spending power of consumers and by extension, the business growth for our SMEs. our SMEs, chairs, which will be reflected in the presentation, really struggled in quarter two, and they are still struggling actually to meet their financial obligations due to these reasons that I've stated above. In quarter three, chairperson, the loan book for CIFA was sitting at 4.3 billion, and the approvals. We approved, chairperson, about 226 million against the targets of 657 million. This, in the main, chair, was caused by, there was a challenge that IDC was supposed to appoint a nominee, which is our board credit committee. And as a result, they took about 6 months to appoint that nominee, which resulted in our board credit committee not being able to correct. And therefore, all deals that were above 15 million were not actually approved because they are above the level of EXCOM. That has a negative impact on the performance of our business in wholesale, hence that low level of approvals. But eventually, in September, the IDC appointed their nominee. Our disbursement share were at 418 million against the target of 638 million, which is also share as a result of what I spoke to, because if your approvals are low, your disbursements subsequently are going to be low. This also resulted in lesser numbers in terms of SMEs that we financed, and the number of jobs that were created to around 9,300. But you will see, chairperson, in numbers, the shift in quarter three once these approvals started flowing in. The amount of money that was dispersed to black-owned enterprises out of these disbursements of 418 million were 317 million, and disbursements to township-based enterprises were around 71 million, and to rural enterprises we dispersed 132 million, and to women-owned businesses we dispersed 152 million, with 46 million going to youth-owned enterprises. So as I stated before, the underperformance on approvals is as a result of the poor performance in our township and rural entrepreneurship program. And this ready chair was mainly due to the high volumes that were coming through from TREP, but with lesser staff numbers in deal making and deal structuring, as we lost in that quarter a big number of our employees in the lending space. And also, I stated, chair, the board credit committee that could not correlate as a result of the IDC nominee that was appointed after 6 months. This actually, chair, that had an impact on the developmental impact. We had one of other challenges that we faced, chair, was the suspension of the EU fund by the National Treasury. We were sitting at the time with about 115 million rand of deals that were approved, but we could not disperse pending this suspension. And the further 30.6 million was already committed for youth challenge fund under the EU fund was also delayed. And also we didn't have a good number on the what called
to persons to people with disabilities are the area that we still push very hard, Chair, to get businesses from this sector. Because the number of people from this sector, they rather choose grants rather than loans. And in CIFA, we do blended finance where it's a loan and the percentage is a grant. Our collections, Chair, were also low this quarter and compared to the targets. This is as a result, Chair, of the tough trading conditions for our SMEs. I did mention, Chair, the slow growth in the economy, but the main handbrake really was load shedding, because our manufacturing book was hit very hard by load shedding, because the delays of the load shedding has a direct impact on these clients, because they use high levels of energy and they can't rely on your what you call your renewable energy like wind and solar. And also the high input costs, particularly the fuel prices, hit this business very hard, because they use generators during load shedding. The cost of fuel actually is just unaffordable for SMEs. For example, we had one of our clients who was spending about 10,000 rand a day on diesel when there's load shedding. If you multiply that by 10 days, you're already hitting 100,000 rand. And for an SME, that's just too high actually to sustain the business. So these conditions, Chair, did really affect the ability of our clients to meet their financial obligations as a result. This, Chair, looks at the balance scorecard, which I'll go through quickly, because this now, members, is a breakdown of that first slide which I referred to. For example, if you look at our approvals, we only managed to approve about 34% for the reasons I've mentioned earlier. And disbursements, we hit 66%. The target was 637 million, and we managed to do around 480 million. That then hit all our developmental targets. With regards to the number of SMEs funded, we only managed 24%. And the jobs, we managed about 36%. And to black-owned enterprises, which was not bad, at 21%. And to women owned with 60%. And the rest were at those low levels, because if you do not disperse at least up to 100% of your disbursements, those developmental impact targets, as reflected below, will be hit hard. But I'll speak in quarter three, where we managed to put interventions to turn that around. That was from customer perspective. Looking from the financial perspective, which is really, Chair, members, the driver of the sustainability of this entity. We always stress this part, Chairperson, because the Treasury is reducing the support to us, and they've taken actually money away from the entity, and you want to make sure that you don't want to be like your Daniel with due respect, where 1 month you're not able to even pay the salaries of staff. You need to make sure that the financial sustainability is guaranteed. Looking at your cost-income ratios, we were able really to contain our costs. The target was 74%, and we managed to hit 62%, which is 119% achievement. Rent value of additional capital raised. This is money now, Chair, that we raised outside of the fiscus. There was nothing that came through that month as we're busy negotiating with our partners. And then looking at the properties, the lettable vacancy rate, these are the rates of vacancy in our properties, in our Polar Business Premises portfolio. The target was 40%. We managed to contain it at 33%, hence the 121% performance or achievement. Rental collections also, we targeted to collect at least 50%, and the team was able to collect about 63%, hence the 126% achievement. Chair, our portfolio, really, you argue that in that you should be collecting above 75%. But because most of our properties are township-based, and there's been more than 20 years of rental boycotts in those properties, particularly industrial properties, we're busy working very hard with the local municipalities and the councillors of the area to try and evict those who are renting our properties to illegal tenants, particularly your foreign-owned businesses. and we're pushing now to make them sign lease agreements with us so that they can be able to pay the rent up to SIPA, because some of them share, they collect the rent, they pocket it and not pay it over to SIPA. So it's a struggle that I think we will win eventually in that portfolio. Looking at KCG capital leverage ratio, share, the target there was 6.25 and the team were able to achieve 6.44. So if I can just unpack this one, this speaks to the guarantee that KCG provides to banks who then extend lending to SMEs that don't have a good, what we call, a credit record, if I may say, or they don't have a good credit score. And as KCG, we come and guarantee those loans so that these banks can unlock their own lending to these high-risk clients that ordinarily they wouldn't be funding. At 6.44%, what it tells you, Chair, if we guarantee 100 million in that particular period, the banks would have lended about 644 million as a result of that intervention. Then looking at the percentage growth in our revenues, we anticipated our revenues to grow at 11%, but we overachieved the growth was 61%. And the driver there, Chair, is mainly the investment income. Because of the high interest rates, we're able to get high interest returns from those investment income. For example, if you take the KCG guarantee, we've got about 300 million rands there, which is locked up for these guarantees. That money is invested, Chair, in high return investments, and the money comes to SIFA to finance our operation. But we still charge these banks a guarantee fee in return for that. Those are, Chair, mainly the drivers of that interest income that you see there. Impairment provision, portfolio at risk, and collections rates, those three numbers, Chair, are linked. We are struggling there with the impairments because the target was 40%, but we saw our impairments deteriorating to 50%. That, Chair, member speaks to what I mentioned before, the inability of our clients to service debt. We're seeing a number of our clients, particularly from our direct lending book, really struggling to pay us back. And as you see, Chair, that the portfolio risk was 45% target, but it's set at 58%. Portfolio risk person is all our clients who are 60 plus one day behind their payments. And that is directly related to the impact, Chair, on the number above of payments. So most of our clients were really behind schedule with regards to payments. Hence that number of 58.7%. Collections rate, we were targeting to collect 85%, Chair. We only managed to collect about 50%. So that's 49.8%, which was a bad, bad, bad month, Chair, because the number of our clients we had, I think close to 200 bank accounts being closed by our clients, and we had a huge number of debit orders being bouncing in those accounts that were active because and people didn't have funds in their bank accounts. So if you look at those three numbers, Chair, each one, if you don't collect, if they don't pay us, your collections will drop, which will impact your portfolio at risk, which impacts directly your impairments. So that's one area that we're focusing on, Chair, and looking at some of the clients that we can see that they are genuinely struggling to restructure the debt and give them a more, what we call, terms to pay their loan. This one, Chair, is really internal business processes. I won't spend much time except to speak to the turnaround times, because our direct lending turnaround times should be 30 days, but they deteriorated to 86 days, and I'll stick to that. And then wholesale lending, the turnaround time should be 50 days. It also deteriorated to 81 days. Direct lending, the reason really, Chair, is that we lost a lot of people in our legal division and credit. Legal is responsible for deal structuring and also for legal contracting. And you need experienced people who understand our business to draft those legal agreements. And a deal, an average deal, will have plus or minus three agreements to be drafted by the team. Because of the capacity constraints, there were what we call increased delays in the legal division and our credit division. With wholesale, coupled with the legal challenge in wholesale, legal capacity and credit capacity, the inability of the the credit committee of the board to meet because of that IDC nominee, resulted in extended delays of 6 months because the committee could only correct after 6 months. And now that the chairperson has been appointed by the IDC of the credit committee, we'll expect an improvement going forward, chairperson and members. And a number of client and funding partner interventions, we did well there, relatively speaking, because we were target 45 and we did 44. And the number of clients improving their turnover, we achieved 160% there against the target. And blended first default rate, we targeted 10% and only 6%. That one share member speaks to a client that you funded, you disperse the money, and they default on the very first installment, which also usually happens. We managed to contain that at 6%. You can only achieve that one share by tightening your due diligence processes to ensure that you make sure that these clients, when given the money, they'll be able to pay. And one of the areas that we are trying to contain. The CIFA risk maturity is an annual measure that we measure at the end of the year. The number of applications, we targeted 2, but we did 3, hence that 50% achievement. And the biannual business conditions survey, we targeted 1 and we did 1. The rest of the other targets are annual targets, Jefferson. Chair, the I did speak to this issue. I won't dwell much on the loan book approvals and the performance, but this is just giving us a breakdown of where they came from. 194 million came from direct lending, and which was mainly driven by your TREP and your small manufacturing support program. And 30 million was from wholesale lending. I did mention, Jefferson, that under wholesale, we could not do much because the approval levels for X go up to 15 million, and then without that committee, we couldn't process the bigger deals. And KCG, there was the 1.9 million rand approval there. Looking at disbursement share, the 418 million, the direct lending disbursements were 118 million. And the wholesale, we disbursed about 205 million. You're going to ask, why, where did that come from if there was no committee? These were approvals shared that were made before the committee could actually suffice me. So we were disbursing based on the previous approvals there. And the wholesale SME, we dispersed 67 million, microfinance 17 million, KCG taken up amounted to 201 million, which was 196% performance on that side. Chair, this one quickly speaks to the geographic spread of our disbursements. The 418 million went to the provinces that are reflected on the screen. In very terms, Chair, the CIFA disbursements were done in Gauteng, followed by KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape. The KCG, what comes rather, the Gauteng deals that are high, is mainly, Gauteng is driven by high value deals. And also they have a high number of SMEs. I think the last time I checked, about 35% of the country's SMEs are based in Gauteng. The majority of SMEs that were supported in the province of Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal and Mpumalanga were driven through microfinance. And you'll see, Chair, that the high numbers, like KwaZulu-Natal, 1,400, Limpopo, 2,000, Mpumalanga, 695, that's where we have microfinance partners that we disperse through them. And as you can see that, Chair, the total number of small business finances comprised of your informal and microfinance at 98% of those disbursements, of which direct lending was only 1.7%. And the wholesale that 2.2 and KCG 5.4. I wanted to remove that thing at the bottom. But looking at the composition of that portfolio book of 4.3 billion, 1.4 billion is sitting under wholesale with 2.9 billion under direct lending. And the wholesale book grew by 31 million with the direct lending book growing by 96 million quarter on quarter. I spoke, Chair, to the portfolio at risk, which is all those clients who are 60 plus one day behind their payments. Our portfolio at risk, Chair, increased from 55.7% in quarter one to 58.7%. Basically, it wasn't Chair, because of the reasons I mentioned where our clients were unable to service their debt. The main driver there, Chair, was direct lending, because the portfolio increased by 2.5% to 66%, if I may say, from 63%. And our wholesale was around 41.7%. As he, Chair, mentioned that is driven by the poor trading conditions, which resulted in our clients being unable to pay us, and also the issues I mentioned, your load sharing and whatnot. We tried, Chairman, to drive this process. We put interventions as management to try and push collections as hard as we can, but with the understanding that some of them, because we do monitor their bank accounts, we can see that there's nothing that is flowing through. So those are the clients that we look at restructuring the debt. Collections, Chair, I did mention this was the worst quarter in terms of collections. Our target was to collect about 85% of the installments issued, but we only managed to really collect 49.8%. And I mentioned, Chair, the number of accounts that the clients closed, the number of debit orders that were cancelled, the number of debit orders that bounced from some of the active bank accounts. The main culprits are your direct lending clients. If you look at the installment that we issued on the top line, 169 million, and only about, what we call, 51 million was collected from direct lending. But wholesale lending, we're doing well. We billed 57.7 million and we're able to collect about 52.5 million. Also, we did really see some improvement in the on-call, the payments that we got in regards to area collections within your direct lending and your wholesale. But on-time collections, direct lending remained a challenge. So I'm not going to talk to cost income ratio again, because I spoke to these numbers earlier and the reason why we managed to achieve those targets. Properties, quickly, Chair. The collections, these are rental collections now, Chair, not your loan collection. We saw an improvement there in quarter two of up to 63% from 58%. And I said, Chair, this is as a result of being able to actually visit these, what we call these properties. We've also started using legal to start the evictions where necessary, and also forcing the client to sign lease agreements, those who are illegally occupying our property. We've also installed prepaid meters in properties at Sibokeng as part of the relationship that we have with GGDA, the Gauteng Growth Development Agency, in establishing some of the Gauteng-based industrial properties. And also we've issued a tender, Chair, for utility management, like your meter readings, to ensure that we've got people on the ground to go and do actual meter readings. Because we know municipalities don't go and do meter readings. They just base their billing on the historical numbers. So we said now that we're going to go and do our own meter readings, and we send them to the municipality so that the utilities that we get charged are actually based on real numbers. Human capital, Chair, we've done a couple of activities there, Chair, and stated that I don't want to dwell too much on those internal issues, except to just make you actually mention that the challenge of the merger impacting stability with regard to retaining staff, and these are the issues that relate to marketing and communications, Chair. I won't dwell much on that, and these are other internal issues, the meetings of the board and what the board approved, and the subcommittees of the board, your audit committee, what they approved, your social and ethics committee, your risk committee, your nominations committee, human capital and remunerations committee. Those are the activities, Chair, really, that the committees looked at. And, Chair, we had put in place action steps in the last quarter to improve the performance of the loan book. We expected, Chair, that by the end of this year, that is the end of March, TRIF should be able to approve about 250 million and disperse 200 million, wholesale 200 million and disperse 210, micro Finance, we expect to approve about 140 million and disperse 270 million. KCG, we expected to guarantee about 450 million and actually disperse 180. KCG, by quarter three, they've already killed their annual target. So that one has been achieved already. Chair, I will not really speak to these issues. So those are issues that we said we'll really deal with moving into quarter three. And with your permission, Chair, I would like to, if members agree, speedily move into quarter three.
Please proceed.
Just a minute, Chair, I want to close this bottom bar and zero so that I can show slideshow. Thank you, Chair. This is quarter three members, once again. I think to me, most of the things that we promised that we will do in the previous quarter, we started really implementing them during this quarter. I spoke, Chair, about the economic conditions of the country and also we have not really repeat myself because most of these things are still applicable. I'll just zoom straight into the loan book. Our loan book increased from 4.3 billion to 4.5 billion in quarter three. And the approvals that we achieved in quarter three were 674 million against a target of 450 million. Remember, Chair members, that last quarter we missed this target and we were able then to catch up and exceed the target as reflected that disbursement. We likely missed it because the target was 613 million. We achieved 495 million. Let me speak to that one so briefly. With disbursements, we approve that with the challenges that we faced of cash flow in terms of collections, we first collect and then disperse what we collect, including the sources from our reserves. We had to slow down some of the disbursements until we see the improvement in collections. Otherwise, we were going to be caught up in reckless trading. Hence, you see that slow number there. But when it comes to SMEs that were financed, you remember last quarter, I think we had 9,000. We were able in this quarter to support 43,700 SMEs, with jobs facilitated at 46,447. Of the disbursements that we made, 453 million went to Blackpoint, 56 million to township based, and 215 million went to rural and rural-based and village entrepreneurs. 287 million went to women-owned, with 100 million going chair and members to youth-owned enterprises. This is the balance scorecard chair, which reflects the achievements of quarter three. I'll stick chair to the percentage achievements. The numbers are there. Approvals, we overachieved a current of 7%, and the disbursements were at 81%, which was quite close. And the number of SMEs and co-ops funded, we hit 164%. Number of jobs facilitated, we hit 144%. And the disbursements to black-owned enterprises, we achieved the 105%. And disbursements to women-owned and enterprises, we achieved the 130%, and youth enterprises, we slightly missed there at 77%. And the area that we were challenged was people with disabilities, which we still push to get the better numbers there with the partnerships that we're forming, but taking time to actually deliver the results. For township base, the slowness on the track program there, we missed that only 36%, but we have some interventions that we're putting in place that will show some improvements in quarter four, Chair. And the disbursements to rural enterprises, we hit 95%, and number of leads generated, we hit 170%, Chair. And the rest are annual targets. That was, Chair, from the customer perspective. The financial perspective, which speaks to the sustainability I spoke to earlier on, the cost-income ratio, we really managed to contain the cost there. and our revenues. We are still targeting 8% there. And with the value of additional capital, remember, Chair, the previous quarter was zero. This quarter, we managed to get about 129 million from other partnerships and the 216% overachievement. And the lettable area rate for the properties, we managed to achieve 104% there. Rental collections, also in properties, the team managed to achieve 118%. The capital leverage ratio of KCG, we achieved 103%. I did explain what it means, Chair, with the partnerships that we have with the banks who are on land to high-risk clients that ordinarily they wouldn't finance. And the percentage growth in revenue, we really shoot the stars there, 236%. And the accumulated impairments, Chair, those three numbers I spoke to earlier on, we managed in the impairment ratio 89%, portfolio at risk 82%, and the collections rate, Chair, remember in the previous quarter we only managed about 49%, but the team really worked hard in this quarter. The collections improved at 70% this quarter. And then from business process perspective, Chair, the turnaround time, we're still struggling there in wholesale and direct lending. And as I said, Chair, there we really want to push the capacity in our credit, deal origination and legal to unlock really the bottleneck that are there. With the high staff turnover and the time that it takes actually to train people, it does result in some delays. But we're looking at also bringing some consultants to assist us in that regard to improve the turnaround times. But the with the what we call the measure really being around the corner, so it's something that should be a thing of the past, because we'll be in a position now to recruit on the long term and keep our staff for longer. And then the partnerships, we those are mentors. We wanted to appoint about 50 of them, but there were delays. We appointed about 29 of them, which gave the 58%. The number of clients improving, they are turnover by 5%. The target was 11 and did 14, hence the 127% achievement. And the blended first default rate, we saw an improvement there, Chair. We targeted 10%, but we managed to contain it at 5.3%. These are the clients I mentioned earlier on that default on their very first installment. We are tightening the screws in our post-investment, Chair, ensuring that we actually collect our money right from the get-go. Because if you allow the client not to pay the first installment, they get used to not paying. So you need to actually instill the culture of payment right from day one. This one of SIFA risk maturity level is an annual measure, and the sector studies that we've done, we did two against the target of two. The biannual measurement actually which is going to be assessed at the end of the year, but the rest employee engagement index is annual, performance staff that score above 3.5%, also annual, and the productivity index, members. Quickly then, Chair, speaking to these approvals, where they came from, 146 million of the approvals are from direct lending, 45 million from wholesale, 452 million were from KCG, with 30.7 million coming from microfinance. And the direct lending approval, Chair, were mainly driven by implementation of the economic recovery program. That is your small manufacturing support program, your trust, 6 million. Now it's frozen. Okay. Disbursements, Jefferson, sorry, my screen froze a bit there. Of the total of 495, direct lending disbursed 120 million, which was 130% against the quarterly target. Wholesale dispersed 376 million, with SME wholesale at 73.5 million, microfinance at 184 million, KCG taken up amounted to 118 million, Chair. And this chair is a geographic spread again of our fund. Gauteng still leads with many terms, followed by Limpopo and KwaZulu-Natal. And Limpopo, Northwest and Eastern Cape were driven through microfinance, that is chair and members, where we have microfinance partners who provide access to funding to those rural women in the main. And then the businesses that we financed in the main, 99% we came from the informal and microfinance program that reflected the agency. The composition of the portfolio, this is just Chairperson members, again, a breakdown of our book. The 4.5 billion, 1.5 billion is sitting at wholesale with 3 billion sitting at direct lending. And the direct lending, the wholesale book grew by 89 million, with the direct lending book growing by 78 million this quarter, Chairperson. The portfolio risk. So as I mentioned, the portfolio risk worsened to 58.7%, rather from 58 in last quarter to 60.9% in this quarter, because of the reasons, Chair, that I mentioned earlier on, challenges of our clients being able to meet their financial obligations. To mitigate the growth in KR, Chair, we put in place what we call Project Badala, where we're chasing the collections from the defaulting clients. And also we're restructuring some of the clients' facilities, those that we can see that, for example, those who are hit by load shedding, we extend the payment period so that we reduce the installment that they pay. And we also signed an MOU with Productivity SA to support our clients with improvements in their business processes. Collections, members will remember that in quarter two, our collections were sitting at around 49.8. The team worked very hard this quarter and managed to push the collection to 70.3%. And also, I spoke, Chair, about Project Batana, which was focusing on increased collaboration with our team division and our regional offices. In this Project Batana, Chair, every HOD, whether you're from legal or IT, we get given a province to work with the provinces to drive our collections. Hence, we saw that improvement from 49.8% to 70.3% in this quarter, Chair. I spoke, Chair, to the cost income ratio. I'm not going to really speak to that again. Those were covered earlier on. Rental collections from our properties portfolio, they increased from 65% in this quarter. And really, those are the interventions that we've put, because we're using attorneys now to also chase these defaulting clients. The vacancy rate was around 33% this quarter. And also, there was an issue with the insurance share of our properties where we needed to install fire equipment, and also we needed our properties to comply with the OSH Act so that insurers can insure properties. And as a result, we actually achieved the compliance with OSH Act in Guamata Center, Sibokeng 1 and Sibokeng 2, West Ridge, Galvin Square, Western Floor, and Nail Hair. And now these are the buildings that are OSH Act compliant, and we should start actually getting insurance cover for them. This chair really is very important because, for example, in Mitchell's Plain, we had a very good property that was burnt down there by disgruntled checkers employee. And that building could not be covered by insurance. Well, the condition was not good. But checkers won that building back as soon as in yesterday, because it was the busiest checkers in the Western Cape. And we have agreed with checkers that we co-finance the rebuilding of that property. And with the hope that at least by December, checkers will be operating and collecting rentals from that building. Municipal recovery, say, this is another cost driver in the properties portfolio. You want to collect your electrical recovery. You want to collect your water recovery from municipalities. You want to collect the sewage expenses, rates and taxes. Those rates, Chair, are still very low. Electricity 41% because of illegal collection. We're installing new meters, but what we picked up, Chairperson and members, is that some of the substations in our properties are old. So before you install new meters, you need to upgrade the substation. And we hope that we'll increase those recoveries. who your 70 is not your 41% in the electricity and water, and including sewerage and rates and taxes. Human capital, we've given really feedback to all the employees, including the performance and the measure related timelines, and also provision of healthy and self-working environment. And we've seen some of our employees going serious levels of stress, and we try to provide support and stability because of several challenges that we may face as an entity. We also implemented a change management project in cooperation with SPIDA and CBTA. This one really speaks to the vacancies. The only thing that I would like to say is the bottom three blocks. You see that 97% of our staff are sitting in contracts of between 3 to 6 months. 90 of them are sitting in contracts of between 6 to 12 months. So 29 of them with 12 months contract. These are people, Chair, that we call, they are on the departure lines because we know they're actively looking for jobs. And that's where our high turnover rate comes from, and it impacts the institutional memory and the ability of the and of the divisions to deliver on time. So those are the issues related to stakeholder engagement, media relations, brand visibility. I won't dwell much on those ones until the members can read at that time. These are the meetings that were conducted with the board, the main board committees, and approvals that took place. Same applies to the audit committee, the social and ethics committee, your risk committee, your NOMCO, and your human capital committee. Chair, I think I will stop there and plead with the committee to approve our quarter one and quarter two report. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you. Thank you so much, CEO, again, for a very comprehensive and very thorough presentation. I'm going to ask the DG to take us through the departmental report quickly. DG?
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members. Jose, please put the presentation on the screen. Q2.
Can you make me able me to share? Yeah,
please proceed. It's long done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll quickly run through Q2 and Q3, but again, following from the CEs that presented, will not dwell much into Q2 because most of the issues that we, or targets that we did not meet in Q2, we have actually met them in Q3, and we will definitely confident that we'll meet them in Q4. Next slide, please. I will not dwell much on the presentation outline. Let's move to the next slide, in the interest of time. The background and the purpose is for us to present today our Q2 and our Q3 reports, and also what the report is going to reflect. Let's proceed. On the issue of governance and compliance, which is very important because also the AG looks into this particular issue, that we do have these committees and this meeting as stipulated in this particular slide. We do have our EXCO meetings and actual meetings that have happened. We do have our MANCO meeting, our extended EXCO, risk and ethics, our audit and risk committee, our ICT STEERCOM meeting, and also we do have what you call our SPD portfolio governance forum meeting, where we meet with the CEOs and their executive management. Let's proceed. We have combined with the legislation stipulated in 2.1. I will not read them sentence by sentence. And also, we have complied with the submission of the report as per the dates, and that is stipulated and in 2.3 up to 2.7 for all the different levels of where this report must be tabled. We have managed to table on time. Let's proceed. The overall performance for Q2 was 69%. And the 69% was broken as follows. In administration, we achieved 6, which accounted for 67%. Not achieved was 33%. In sector and market development, we achieved 60%. We did not achieve 40%, so just 3 targets versus 2. And development finance, we achieved 5, and we did not achieve 2. The 5 accounted for 71%. The 2 for 29% that was not achieved. And enterprise development, we achieved 4, accounted for 80%, and 1, 20%. So the total was 69 achieved, and not achieved was 8%, was 8, which accounted for 31%. Let's proceed. This is a summary of the quarters, and the green is showing what we have achieved for the different years. For 2021, 2022, to 2023, to 2024. I will not dwell much on that, it's self-explanatory. Let's proceed. On the performance highlight, what we did for Q2, we obtained an unqualified audit outcome with material findings of on non-financial performance information for 2022-23 financial year. We got what you call a clean audit. We also obtained an unqualified audit outcome without material findings on annual financial statements for 2023 and 2024 financial year, clean audit. And again, and Tuseni, please put back the slide on the screen. Tuseni, put the slide back. Thank you. Can you go back to the slide that I was presenting? For Q2, the performance highlight for Q2. Apologies, honorable members.
Didi, can we ask that the slide just be made a bit bigger for me, because I'm straining myself, I can't see properly, it's quite small. Can you make it cover the full screen or something?
Thank you very much, and apologies about that glitch. And with the department, we also managed to process 2,809 invoices amounting to 20 million on average of 5 days. That we also managed to spend 819.3 million against the cash flow projection of 838.7 million, and that resulting in a variance for the quarter of 19.4 million, which was about 2.3%. We achieved, and on female SMS, we achieved 54% SMS representation vis-a-vis for the quarter, which was set at 50%. 32 DSBT and agencies, public engagement that we had, the programs which we implemented within the district and municipality. We also had a total of 75, which was exactly the target for Q2 for products that were produced and services rendered by SMMEs and cooperatives linked to domestic markets. We also had a total of 118, and we have set ourselves a target of 100 of SMMEs and cooperatives that were exposed to global market opportunities. The department, we also supported 90 vis-a-vis the target of 50 that we have set for ourselves for the quarter for cooperative on cooperatives, and we have supported them financially and also non-financially. A progress report on the implementation of the approved project presented to EXCO on the 26th of September 2023, and also the progress report on the implementation plan of SMMEs and cooperative funding policy was approved by EXCO on the 26th of September 2023. There were six MOAs that we signed with the hubs and agencies, which is part of our way of implementing the mandate of the organization. We also had a total of 544 informal and micro enterprises vis-a-vis the 333 that we supported through our program called the IMEDP, where we give equipment to these informal traders for them to be able to conduct their businesses. And also the National Integrated Small Enterprise Development Strategy Framework implementation report was developed and approved by EXCO on the 26th of September 2023. We also conducted two consultations with key stakeholders on regulatory impediments to SMME growth. And we also had stakeholder consultation on the National Entrepreneurship Strategy that was conducted. Please proceed. Again, on the highlights, the terms of reference for research on challenges, business opportunities, and support required by MSMEs and cooperatives in the national priority sector focusing on short, medium, and long term were approved. This particular terms of reference or this research will assist us to be able to identify the exact area where our support, so that our support will be intentional and will be properly guided. The department also will manage to host the second quarterly interprovincial task team on the ease of doing business and red tape reduction in Polokwane. We also managed to draft the IGR strategy by conducting consultation and developing a stakeholder mapping. Two reports on stakeholder consultation for the utilities and construction subsectors were also produced. Again, the department managed to identify existing support interventions for SMMEs in agriculture, fisheries and aqua environment and mining. And the key stakeholder for the development of the enterprise development model were identified, and also the stakeholder metrics was developed. Again, another highlight, the department through our regional LED coordination, we participated and provided inputs. It's gone again to saying. Somebody take over from Chuseng, he's struggling and it's disturbing the flow of the presentation.
Apology, members and chair.
The department also hosted a feminine cluster workshop on the 7th of August 2023, where 23 SMMEs, mainly distributors and manufacturers, attended. The department visited growers and SMMEs in the cannabis and hemp sector in the Eastern Cape from the 14th to the 17th of August 2023. This was in Q2. Face-to-face interaction with those SMMEs, growers and stakeholders were central aspects of the visit. On the sheet trade, a roundtable discussion with women in business support organization, this was held, and the International Trade Center, ITC, the European Union, and also the ETSA program among the partners with whom the department works to strengthen and improve the meaningful engagement of women and young people in the economy. and the department during the period under review conducted consultation with cooperative bodies in preparation for the policy dialogue on the review of the cooperative strategy. Next slide, please. In Q2, the underachievements. The output here was the issue of the 10% vacancy rate, and this target was not achieved. And the reason for us not achieving it was one, that it's because 8 posts were created in Q2, and also there was this number, increasing number of newly created posts from 80 to 88 in line with the annual implementation of the structure plan. And again, while we are busy filling the positions, we then had 6 terminations and then we had 2 promotions. But what are we doing as a corrective measure is that we are busy with the filling of vacancies in line with the recruitment plan. We have an approved recruitment plan and also the appointment of response handling service provider. This was done in Q2 because that assisted to have this service provider assisting. And also on comments is that 16 appointments were made, of which 2 promotions, which have no impact on the vacancy rate because those promotions were internal. And also 3 contracts additional to the establishment. Again, that did not have an impact because the contracts are not part of the establishment. And then we had 11 permanent positions. On the second one, on the representation on the persons with disability, again, we didn't meet that target because for Q2, we were supposed to be at 4.6, but we managed to be at 3.3. And the reason for that is that there were no new appointments on this, while the headcount increased by 6 employees. And what we are doing is that the implementation of the strategy for the recruitment of PWDs, we continue to share the adverts with tertiary institutions and persons with disabilities organizations, and also an appointment of 7 interns is earmarked for PWDs, and this will help us to get to the target. And the comments again here is that the recruitment for the 7 has commenced, and there are 33 applications that we received from this designated group of PWDs, and currently 1 post is ready for shortlisting and interviews. And on we had an SMME database that we were supposed to have implemented. And for Q2, we were supposed to have a phase 6 system developed and testing commenced. And again, we were not able to do that. And the reason for deviation is that there was no budget that is available to continue with the implementation of phase 6. And again, the corrective measure is that the project implementation will be considered when the budget is available, but this is a matter that we are discussing, and this particular target was in program 1, and but because program 1, they have done whatever that they needed to do, and moving forward for the other phases, we have actually moved it to the DDG that is responsible for the project. And then on incubation support program, we were supposed to have the monitoring report on the incubation support, and that was not done. The report was not produced in Q2, and the reason for that is that further improvements required on the content of this particular report, and that the corrective measure is that this target will be achieved in Q3 through a catch-up plan that was presented. Proceed. On the business amendment bill submitted to Parliament for Q2, we needed to have 1 progress report on the public consultation on the business amendment bill and proposed changes submitted to Minister for consideration. We did not meet this particular target. And the reason for deviation 1 was that given that the bill was not certified at the time by OXLA, the bill was not submitted to Cabinet to secure approval for the bill to be gazetted for public comments. Therefore, public consultations were undertaken. Consequently, a report on the public consultation could not be developed, because we needed to have followed the process above. And the bill was first submitted to OXLA, and that is the process of what has happened. And the corrective measure is that depending on the outcome of OXLA, the department through the minister intends to submit the bill to cabinet by end of October 2023 and undertaking the public consultation in November 2023 and submit to cabinet approval and to introduce the bill to parliament by January, February 2024. And we will see as I present Q3 what has then since happened with this particular target. and on the issue of the municipalities assisted to roll out the red tape on Q2, we had targeted 5 municipalities that were supposed to be assisted to roll out this at red tape reduction awareness program, but we were not able to do this. There were no municipality in Q2 was assisted. And the reason for that is that the issue is the change of dates by identified provinces, because as we do our planning, we identify which are the provinces we are going to go to. And it just happened that all these 5 that we identified, they did not confirm the issue of the dates, and it affected our delivery. And then we have decided that moving forward, the department will identify more than 3 provinces to choose from in case of changes in any of the identified municipalities, because this actually affected us, because as we were ready, but we were not able to get the dates. Let's proceed. On the trap, the town food, the township and rural the enterprise supported financially and non-financially. On this quarter, we set ourselves to support 10,000 township and rural enterprises, and we did not achieve this. In Q2, we were able to only support 6,354, and the reason for that is because the underperformance in the quarter under review has been recorded on the financial support which is offered by CIFA. But we have since, because of that, we have since taken the decision that the approval of the proposed improvement plan will improve the uptake of CHEP financial support. In the meantime, the department, through the district coordinators, will assist with the pipeline improvement. And also, again, in addition to the above, 5 interns have been employed by CIFA, and they will assist to make sure that there is uptake. And I can safely say that for Q2, the number of females that took this particular, that were supported, is 3,627, males 2,727, youth 2,916, and from the youth, those the female 1,588, male 1,327, and people with disabilities 275, female 49%, male 51%, youth 107. The consolidated report on supported competitive SMMEs and cooperative produce for Q2, we're supposed to have a progress update report on this, on 15,000 competitive SMMEs, and we did not achieve this. We only managed to do 12,139, and the reason for deviation was that the numbers reflected above are based on enterprises supported instead of the interventions that were received by each enterprise, because one enterprise can get more than one intervention. So this therefore clearly indicates that the department may record underperformance on the plan target because of how we have couched this. So moving forward, the department, we must consider the intervention as opposed to the enterprises that are supported. And again, those are the numbers as reflected. Let's proceed. CFO, if you can quickly, in 1 minute, talk to the financial report.
Thank you, DJ. Good morning, Chair, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members and Executives from the Department and entities. In terms of quarter two, we had projected to spend 838.7 million. However, we spent 819 million, resulting in an underperformance of 19 million, which is about 97.7% in terms of actual expenditure, as reported earlier for the activities that ADG spoke to. The same performance in terms of the economic classification, if you could move to the next slide, please, and we can just end. Thank you. For compensation of employees, we had projected to spend 51 million. We only spent just under 44 million with a variance of 7.1. And as ADG has reported, we do have a variance that is material. In terms of goods and services, we thought we would spend 43.4 million, or we had planned to spend 43.4. We spent 31.8 million, resulting in an underperformance of just under 11.6 million. Subsidies, our transfers and subsidies in the main overperformed, wherein we had projected for 741.7 million. We transferred 742 or just under 743 million, resulting in an overperformance of 1.3 million capital expenditure. We had projected to spend 2.6 million. We spent 545,000, resulting in an underperformance of over 2 million. And the reasons for that underperformance in the next slide, please, Zutin Chisene, thank you. Compensation, as I have reported earlier, underperformed by 7.1 million on the base because of
CFO?
The vacancy rate. Yes?
I think the slides have just disappeared again.
Zutin Chisene,
so we don't see what you presented.
Apology, Chair. And say for through you, Chair. Yeah, I think it's keep on kicking me out, but let me share it again. Thanks.
Okay.
So sorry about that, Chair. I don't know if it's visible now on the side, Chair.
Yeah, we can see it now. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. I was explaining the reasons for variances, basically. COE, ADG has already spoken to the vacancy rate that is sitting at 32%. In terms of our goods and services, we have underperformed by 11.6, which is about 26.7%. And the main reason is that we do have our core programs that we spend from goods and services, or where the allocation is provided for in the goods and services budget. And this is our cannabis program, which contributed 2 million. SMME exposure to international markets underperformed by 5.2, and the IMED, which is our informal micro enterprises development program, underperformed by 2.2 million, whilst the rest of the operational items contributed a total of 2.2 million. Transfers, I've already spoken to the overshooting by 0.2%, and the contributing programs, IOCDSP, and earlier CE Mbata referred to the approval that was granted by National Treasury, wherein we had the money in the first quarter, but we could only transfer it in the second quarter to CEDA. And the product market also underperformed in that we had four claims that needed to have been processed but could not be processed because we had four of those. Some had were non-tax compliant, and we're referring to the Northwest Development Agency that needed to have received 3.2, and they are and still remain non-compliant even today. King Sabata Dalijebo had 6.4 million that we needed to also make sure that the documents were as per expectations, and then Chris Honey had 3 million. And let me rephrase that it's not four, it's three transfers that needed to be processed. CCSP is 2.5 in terms of overperformance. Here we had planned for the claims to be processed in quarter one, but could only be processed in quarter two, as the memorandum of agreements were only finalized during the quarter that we are reporting on. In terms of capital expenditure, I have reported that we underperformed by just over 2 million, and this basically was just catching up with the underperformance that we reported on in quarter one, on the basis of having paid the vehicles that we had ordered in July 2022 but could only be delivered in the first quarter of 2023, and we had projected for spending in quarter two. That is basically the report on financials. If I am, could just also then talk to progress made on the audit findings. We are currently tracking 10 of those findings that HGSA made during the 22-23 financial year. As at the end of the quarter, we had not yet gained traction in terms of ensuring controls are in place. So Chairperson would note particularly on the second one, which is the service delivery observations, we had not addressed those, but Chair will also note in quarter three that we have made a bit of progress on there, albeit the issue around the filling of posts still remains a challenge for the department and I suppose government in general, particularly on the basis of the moratorium that has been put in place by the directive that we're currently implementing. Secondly, the committee needs to know that as we had just finalized the audits by the end of July, it is anticipated by the end of the quarter would not have fully implemented controls, but good progress has been achieved in the third quarter, as the committee will soon note. Ya Leboha, DG, through you, Chairperson.
Thank you, CFO.
Thank you very much. I'll quickly run on the human resources. Thank you very much. The decrease in vacancy rate impacted by the creation, like I've presented in the previous slide, the creation of the 8 posts in line with the approved structure and also the termination, because as we appoint, other people are leaving. Delays also in appointing a service provider. This was in Q2 for the response handling to assist with the capturing, which I say we have actually now done. And then underneath that, there were 16 appointments made of 2 promotions. Again, there was no impact. And 3 contracts additional to the establishment, also there was no impact. Let's proceed. On the issue of the representation, we maintained in the women SMS termination of one female at level 14, and then there was appointment of one in Q2 of one female on level 15 DGG level, but again there was also a termination of one male on level 16, which is DG level, and then appointment of 2 males at level 15. Let's proceed. Under persons with disability, again, there were limited applications, and there was an increase of 6 in headcount and no appointment yet at this quarter of a person with disability. But again, like I in my presentation, that with all the 6 interns, we have earmarked them for this category. Let's proceed. Overall performance by program. In program 1, again, is the same thing of the vacancy rate. Let's proceed, because I'm going to touch when I do Q3. The issue of the representation, again, is the same issue, but here I'm just showing per program to say which are the programs that contributed And then on the representation, it is the same numbers that I spoke about. Let's proceed. And also on the issue of the SMME database, again, the issue of the budget, like I have said, but I've said that we have since moved this to program 4. Let's proceed. On program 2, the issue of the incubation support improvement plan. And again, that this target will be achieved in Q3 based on the catch-up plan. Let's proceed. And then on the issue of the business licensing bill, again, is the same issue of the Office of the State Law Advisor and the process that we needed to undertake, and also the introduction of the bill to Parliament. And I will be able to give progress as we progress. And Program 3. Program 3 is the issue of the 10,000 township and rural enterprises. Again, here we fell short, and we are actually doing something. Then the issue of worth mentioning is the issue by CIFA of having employed the 5 interns to support. Let's proceed. And then the issue of the consolidation of the report and also the progress to report on the 15,000 competitive SMMEs. Again, here, like like I have said, that the issue was that we need to consider the interventions as opposed to the enterprises, because like I said, we will be having one enterprise, but supporting them with five interventions. So do we count the five interventions or do we count one? If we count the one, we will fall short. But if we count the five, we will be able to meet the target. So that's what we are looking at moving forward. We'll proceed. On problem four, is the issue of the municipalities on the red tape. And again, we have agreed that we will, as a department, moving forward, identifying more than one date, but again, also more than three provinces to make sure that we get the date and meet the target. But I will register some progress as we proceed. The recommendation is that the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development adopts the 2023 Q2 Performance Report of the Department of Small Business. We will now move to Q3. If you're saying, please put Q3, but we will not do the outline and the and all the other issues. We'll go straight to achievement and underachievement. Go to overall performance. It's worth mentioning. Again, here it shows that we have moved to 73%, and I must say that even before we finish with Q4, the number is going up. At least there is some light. On administration, it was 3 versus 1. Sector, it was 2, 50%, and development finance 6-1. Enterprise 5-2, and finally we on of the total 16 targets accounted for 73% and 6% not 27% not achieved. Let's proceed. Let's proceed to highlights. And again here on the issue of the invoices, we are doing well. And we pride ourselves as an organization that's dealing with small businesses, that we are actually setting an example as a department. When we submit to National Treasury, we always submit that we are able to comply with this day-to-day, because we know and understand the struggles of SME. And again, on the on SMS, female SMS, 53.7%. And again, this looks much prettier, the same as the first one. And also for Q3, and also that we also there was a report on the input and feedback from key stakeholders that was incorporated into the prioritized regulatory reform implementation plan. The department will also assist 21 municipalities to roll out the red tape reduction awareness program. Like I said, that there was an improvement with that one of 0 to 21. And then there's a total number of 61 versus 50 products that were produced and service rendered by SMMEs and cooperatives linked to domestic market. Also, a total of 65 versus the 50 SMMEs and cooperatives were exposed to global markets, exceeded the target. We exceeded the target again. 62 versus 50 cooperatives that were supported financially and non-financially. There was also a total number of 5,746 vis-a-vis the 2,500 that we set ourselves for startup youth businesses that we supported financially and non-financially. And also a total of 457 vis-a-vis the 333 that we supported through the IMEDP. 12,936 of the 5,000 we set ourselves, we doubled the number and more of competitive SMMEs and cooperatives that were supported during this period under review. 3,472 of the 2,500 township and rural enterprises that were supported financially and non-financially. There was also progress report on the implementation plan that was approved by EXPO on the 30th, because we track this to see that the implementation plan, are we on track. Then the concept document on the township economy revitalization was also approved by EXCO because we are focusing on the issue of the township economy revitalization. So that was approved. And also on the NISED implementation report developed and approved by EXCO on 11 December 2023. And there was also the report on the input feedback from the stakeholders that was incorporated into the prioritized rental reform implementation plan. And this also here we're lagging behind in Q2, and we are as part of the catch-up plan, catching up. Let's proceed. The intergovernmental relations strategy developed and approved by EXCO again, and also there was a special webinar session workshop that the task team members and business association through the panel discussion was held on the 28th of November 2023. We also entered into a partnership agreement with the council, with CSIR, again, for the value of 500,000. We also we held stakeholder meetings with the Northern Cape Department of Economic Development and Tourism as part of a new cluster initiative. And also the feminine hygiene webinar was conducted on the 2nd of November 2023 with 28 SMMEs joining and various development finance institutions that were invited. On cluster initiatives, they had to establish the communication with provincial stakeholders, and this is done in order to open the establishment of new cluster initiatives. As you can see above with the one of the Northern Cape stakeholder meeting, which we held in the Northern Cape, and also the ESD initiative with the stakeholder engagement to discuss proposals on the ESD code amendment. Here, the department will reach out to DTIC to propose a project team that will explore amendments to the ESD code because they are housed at DTIC. Other than that, other than the DTIC, we envisage that other relevant stakeholders will be consulted to achieve the consensus around the ESD fund and programs. Also on the enterprise development model for the SEZ, we're conducting data analysis and procuring a draft enterprise, producing a draft enterprise development model. And during Q3, this, what I'm presenting, the primary data was collected from all key stakeholders through interview session. We analyzed the draft enterprise development model, and it was then produced. The draft enterprise development. And then we also had engagement with the ecosystem partners, specifically on the sheet tree. Three engagement with stakeholders have been held respectively in Q3 to advocate for the sheet trade program. And also the bilateral and multilateral engagement in implementing the international relations strategy that I spoke about that was developed and approved by EXCO. The team participated in bilateral and multilateral agreements, inward mission delegation, as well as high-level political consultation. Let's proceed. What did we underachieve here? The issue of the 95% expenditure on our annual budget for Q3, we were supposed to have the 5% variance on the cash flow projection, and we did not achieve this. The reason for deviation was that the underperformance is largely under transfers to misalignment of cash flow, as these funds were reprioritized to CEDA from CIFA during the AEN period and will only be transferred in Q4. So because we couldn't transfer during that particular period, we were affected, and because it was during that period of the AENE, so, but in Q4, this will then be covered. Can I have the slide back on the screen?
I'm not sure why does the slide disappear all the time. Is it a timing issue?
It looks like. And the corrective measure is that the revised cash flow was submitted to National Treasury in January 2024 for approval. And hence, we are confident that in Q4 we will be on track. The issue of the approved business infrastructure for SMME and cooperative refurbished or built, we're supposed to have on Q3 three approved business infrastructure, SMME and cooperative refurbished, and we only managed to do two. And the reason for our deviation is that Ukahlamba Light Industrial Factories, Bergville Municipality in KZN, and also the KSD Market King, Sibata Dalinjebo Municipality in the Eastern Cape, could not meet project implementation dates due to unforeseen construction challenges. And therefore, in the, as a corrective measure for us to meet the target, we, there is currently a pipeline of 10 projects that we are being implemented and a further 2 projects to be completed in Q4, and we will be able to meet the target. On the business amendment bill, the issue of the public consultation, the reason for deviation again is the business amendment bill has still gone through the regulatory process, and the bill will be submitted to OXLA for certification in January 2024, and I can confidently say that that was done by the 18th of January 2024. We managed to then submit to OXLA. We are waiting for them to respond. On the issue of the SMME and cooperative in the craft sector, we were supposed to support 500 crafters in Q3. We only managed to support 342. And again, the reason is that the TIKZN did not fully implement this program, the craft program, due to reprioritization of their core fund for flood relief in KZN. The money was channeled to the flood relief, and the other hubs and agencies missed their targets due to late disbursement because of late finalization of the MOAs. But the catch-up is that TIKZN has secured the co-funding and will submit a catch-up plan with a target to implement by the end of February 2024. We will be able to report them in the coming quarter. And also the FDC and the NCEDA will submit a catch-up plan and implement outstanding intervention by end of February 2024, which is tomorrow. But there is work that is being done. It's just that it will be reported in Q4. Let's proceed. On the sector focus and hybrid incubation and digital hub support strategy developed and approved, in Q3 we were supposed to have the revised focus and hybrid incubation, and that did not happen because the outcome of the ongoing consultation and the reason for deviation of the process of revising and developing the strategy that is inclusive of issues within the ecosystem is still ongoing. And the corrective measure is that there is a catch-up plan that will be developed and implemented during the fourth quarter, and this particular plan was actually presented and approved. On the national entrepreneurship strategy approved, we were supposed to have a revised entrepreneurship strategy based on inputs that received from stakeholders. And the reason for us not meeting this target in Q3 was because several experts that were invited to review the current draft strategy, these experts were submitted the inputs, but they have not been consolidated due to capacity challenges within the unit, which is something that was presented and we are looking at as part of the catch-up plan. And the corrective measure is that there is a process underway to procure expert services to consolidate the input and update the final strategy for final tabling at the next EXCO. Proceed. The CFO, quickly again in 1 minute.
Thank you, ADG. In terms of the resources that we had projected for the quarter, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, we had projected to spend 602.3 million. We spent 376.6 million, underperforming by 225.7 million for the quarter, which is 37.5% of the projected spend. The performance in terms of the economic classification, thank you. Of the 4 categories, 3 of them overperformed, and as stated by ADG earlier, transfers and subsidies underperformed. Compensation of employees overperformed by 2.7 million, and goods and services overperformed by 1.2 million, while transfers underperformed by 231 million, and capital overperformed by 1.5 million. And the reasons for that, if you could go to the next slide, please, Kisani. The reasons for the performance, in terms of COE or compensation of employees, we processed the pay progressions after approval for such to be paid, and we overshot by 2.7 despite, in spite of the persistent vacancy rate, which is still quite high, highest vacancy rate. In terms of goods and services, we, as reported earlier, we thought we would have spent 24.3, but we spent 25.5, overshooting by 1.2 million. And in the main, we were catching up with the earlier reported underperformance in one of our programs, which is that informal micro-enterprise development program, in that we were able to disburse 1.2 of the previous quarter's performance, plus the current quarter's performance that we had planned for, leading to that overperformance by 1.2. Transfers and subsidies, this is where we face the challenge. The challenge is that, as ADG reported, we had the money in our bank account that was meant to have been transferred to CIFA at the time that we put together the cash flow projections in February. However, during the budget vote for the department, there were priorities that required to be implemented by CEDA, and before we could transfer the funding, we needed National Treasury and the AENE process to unfold, and this process was only concluded on the at least ascension of the AENE document was on the 22nd of December, hence the submission of the revised cash flow projections in January to ensure that the priorities, the reprioritized funding could be transferred to from the department to CEDA instead of CIFA. And that particularly was coming from the TREP program. And in terms of the product markets, we also had 2.1 million that we could not transfer on the basis of these four projects that were still being finalized, and this is the Manguzi market stalls and the Kwamashu market stalls, the avocado oil processing facility, as well as the Hosi Maubani agricultural irrigation project. At the time, they had not been concluded. And for the CCSP, we could not transfer funds on the basis of the MOAs that needed to be finalized before we can transfer the funding. However, committee members will note that the household transfers exceeded the allocation or the projections, because we do not project for employees that leave the department and have leave gratuities that need to be paid out. However, what we then do is we clear the overperformance with the underspending resources that we have in our COE, and that is enabled by the Treasury regulation. In terms of capital, for the quarter, we had projected to spend 1 million, and then we spent 2.6, overperforming by 1.5 million on the basis of an invoice for laptop that we received in this quarter and paid off. But we had an underperformance in the previous quarter in terms of cash flow alignment. For the audit action plans, as I reported earlier, we have recovered most of the items that we are tracking, or the control weaknesses that were identified by HSA are being achieved in as far as the quarterly reports that we receive are concerned. The only two items that we need to still focus on, as reported earlier, is that service delivery observation, which in the main HSA is concerned that we are not able to implement particularly our TREP program on the basis of the high vacancy rate. So here we need to make sure that we get the vacancy rate, the vacancy rate reduced, for us to be able to bring in resources that will help push the numbers up, or at least the disbursement of the funds to the relevant stakeholders or SMEs. And then the last one is that contingent liability assessment that was not conducted. We are working with legal services to ensure that the quarterly reports NSS evaluations are submitted. And in the previous financial years, our biggest challenge was always getting the confirmation from the Office of the State Attorney, because AGSA requires an independent confirmation of the amount disclosed in the financial statement. That covers the audit findings progress ADG for the quarter. Kalewa, Chairperson.
Thank you, CFO. Thank you, Chairperson. On human resource access, for Q3, the decrease in the vacancy rate, also we had 40 appointments made of 4 promotions, although there was no impact on the vacancy because they were internal. 17 contracts additional to the establishment, no impact again on vacancy, and then also 19 permanent positions. Please proceed. We also maintain the representation of women in SMS above the 50% to appointment of one female on level 15. Again, another DDG during Q3 was appointed. Appointment of one also female at level 14. Appointment of one female on 13. Appointment of one male on 14. Appointment of two males on 13. On persons with disability, again, it's the same issue I presented of the limited application, and that there were no new appointments, but we are targeting. The overall performance by program, again, I'll take the approach that I did with Q2, that on the issue of the 5% variance on cash flow, I said that because of the misalignment with the A&E period, but it's something we are correcting that we have submitted to Treasury. Let's proceed. And then on program 2 is the 3 infrastructure that we're supposed to refurbish. The issue that we are correcting that by the 10 pipeline projects that are being implemented, and also the further 2 projects, and we will be covered in Q4. The reason, again, here is not a very straightforward issue, this issue of the refurbishment of the safe, because of that it is a collaborative effort between us and the municipalities. So it's important that everything, and also the issue of the meeting of the standards. And on number 4, the issue of the business amendment bill. Again, like I said, that we submitted on the 18th of January as per the commitment that we made in Q2. So in Q3, 18th January, we submitted, we are waiting, but we are in contact with the Office of the State Law Advisor. Let's continue. And program 3. The issue of the 500 clusters, I explained what was the problem, especially we were affected at TKAZN when money was directed to the flood relief. And although, yes, it is a good thing, we're not complaining about that, but I'm saying we're affected in terms of the meeting of the target, but we will be able to meet the target in Q4. That's it. Program 4. Program 4 is the issue of the revised sector focus on hybrid incubation. And again, this particular one, the catch-up plan that was developed in this catch-up plan of being implemented in Q4 was approved, and it will make us have a move to green. And then the National Entrepreneur Strategy. Again, on that one, there is a process underway to procure expert services to consolidate the input and update and the final strategy, because here we reported that there were capacity challenges in the unit. Let's proceed. And the recommendation is that the portfolio committee to adopt and approve our Q3 performance report. I thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members.
Thank you, DG and team. Colleagues, honourable members, we've now engaged in all the presentations. We've listened to very diligently the presentation. The floor is now open to you to give your inputs on it. So let me invite Hans. Okay, I'm going to get an order. So I see Honorable April first hand. Let's just first identify the hand and then we'll allow members to talk. Anyone else? Honorable Muller, number two. We've identified the two honourable members. Any further hand? Okay, let's start with those two hands then. Honourable April, I see also Honourable Trovi Lam, number three. Honourable April, let's start with yourself. Honorable April, the floor is yours. Honorable April, are you still on the platform?
Chairperson, I think I saw something in the chat where Honorable April talked to the issue of load shedding. I don't know if it's still on. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I see him back on the platform. Honorable April?
Yeah? I've got load shedding, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I will not open the video because I'm just trying to be very quick.
Okay.
Chairperson, let me start by welcoming the presentation that was given from the entities as well as the department. I think we are seeing significant improvements in terms of the department and the stability that is back, and I want to really commend the acting DG and the CEs for the work that was done. Chairperson, I must, however, raise in this PC that when we started in 2019, we were very clear about the fact that how disbursements happen. We know that the economy is not the same in all provinces. However, we've got a fiduciary duty to ensure that we stimulate the economy specifically in those areas where we see that our people are not participating very. I think programs must be focused to these areas. I mean, particularly worried if you look at 0.3% in the Northern Cape and 1% in the Free State. It indicates to us, Chairperson, that we are not doing enough in our smaller provinces to stimulate economic activity. Should there be a need for extensive training or extensive supporting or in informing our people how to create jobs? Because our businesses, as it were, I think that more should be done. But we have been lamenting this point since 2019, and it is worrisome. I'm also happy to hear that we are heading towards the end of the merger where it will happen, and hopefully it brings some more stability, Chairperson, because this stability we need, you can just imagine if there is a continuous repetitive training and a loss of institutional knowledge, it would make the work hard to roll out the programs that we've got. But as I conclude, I want to say well done. We expect you to do better. I know working together we will definitely do more. Chairperson, I will conclude there because I am not sure if this thing will allow me further. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable April. Honorable Muller.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. We'd like to welcome the report and thank you so much to the department and the entities for sharing this information with us. I have the following questions. So based on the CEDA Quarter 3 report, on the audit findings and remedial actions, can we please have a detailed description of performance management systems in place to assist in data management and record keeping? The second question is based on CIFA's 2023-24 Quarter 3 performance, please clarify the criteria used for other provinces to be provided with disbursements and others to be provided with informal sector loan program when it comes to CIFA's funding. And then on the department, could the department please provide an update on the following issues as noted in the Portfolio Committee's 2022 Budgetary Review and Recommendation Report? So it's progress on the Business Amendment Bill and the National Small Enterprise Amendment Bill may only be referred to in Parliament in 2023. And the department's turnaround plan on cooperatives. How many cooperatives were supported financially and by how much? And then lastly, the progress on the SMME and cooperative funding policy. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Muller. Good questions. Honorable Somilang.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also acknowledge, I wanted to show the face, but I will switch off because there is wind in my area. So I might be disturbed by the network. But Chair, let me start by acknowledging the presentation that has been brought before us by the department. And indeed, really, I want to follow what Honorable April and Nula have already indicated, that we must appreciate where there is progress. However, we still see that there are a number of challenges and there is a plan to address those challenges. Our wish is that the remaining or outstanding work must be done so that we are able to take services to our people. This is our main objective. Chair, I have a number of few questions that I want to ask. But firstly, let me start by asking the question, especially in terms of the Quarter 2 performance report. Chair, I want to say that besides the matter of changes in the date, what was the reason for not even one municipality to be assisted in the rollout as far as the red tape reduction awareness program is concerned? My second question will be on the Quarter 3 performance, Chairperson. The sector focus and hybrid incubation and the digital hub support strategy based on the input received from the stakeholder consultation was not revised. Can we get a detailed response why they were not revised and why the sector focus and hybrid incubation and digital strategy based on the input received from stakeholders were not revised and no consultation were made? Let me also go to my other two questions, Chairperson. My first question is, I want to focus on the department. Can the department provide us with the update, especially on the following? The portfolio committee on the 2022 noted in the, especially the budget review and the, or the BRRR, we noted that there is progress, but my question is, we want to understand the progress on the Business Amendment Bill and the National Small Enterprise. The second question will be, I also noted the progress on the organizational structure that was approved 18 months ago in August 2022. But however, the department has a high vacancy rate of 27% that is funded post. My question is, what is the root cause of high vacancy rate and how long will it take the department to meet the vacancy target of less than 10% vacancy rate? Because I saw that through the presentation that there was a budget made available for. And we also acknowledge the number of women that have been accommodated as far as the posts have been provided or the presentation came before us. But at the end of the third quarter, the department's vacancy rate was 27%. At the same time, the department missed 27% of its performance budget. Can the department elaborate more on this financial and non-financial opportunities that the department is posing due to the high vacancy rate? My last question, Chair, is, as the guardian of the small business growth, the National Treasury says that the department must establish an indicator for tracking delinquent invoices, and CIFA should pick up the tab, those session arrangements within 30 days for uncontested invoice. I still need clarity from the department. Can they provide more information on the state of readiness as well as the implications of the readiness and implementing this arrangement? Can also the National Treasury, because we noted through the presentation that the National Treasury report that the department has underspending was 3.8 million, which is equal to 4% due to, among others, non-compliance with the tax relation. You can make example to the Northwest Development Corporation. Could the department provide or elaborate more on the involvement of the department's underspending and the Northwest Development Corporation's non-compliance with tax? Thank you, Chair. For now, this is my questions.
Thank you, Wop, for those comprehensive questions. Further hands? Okay. Colleagues, I want to invite all the other honourable members to make submissions so that we can get one responses from the department and its entities. Without me identifying members, let me get a sense if all the members are okay. Last call for additional questions or inputs, honourable members.
Okay, Chair. I forgot the last question.
Okay,
my last question, I forgot it. I was just taking some notes. My other question is, what inroads has the department made in respect to change the management and the impact of staff burnout due to vacancies, especially at CIPA, and to boost the staff morale? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Maybe I should also have a bite of just some questions before I invite the DJ and the team to respond. Also, my overall impression is that we want to record good improvements. We note the lack of improvements and obviously in first quarter two, and then subsequently things look much better in quarter three. So I think that's useful. I mean, the dashboard that CEDAP outlined was also very, very useful. It gives you a sense of, on a high level, on one page, what are the achievements. So I think that was really good. The one thing that I'd like the team to do, DG, is maybe to give members more information. So, for example, the incubation. There was a slide, I forget, I can't see it now, but there was a slide on a target for incubation. Now, for me, incubation is very important. It should be one of our flagship things. I'm quite keen to see a sense of who is in incubation, where is it, what's the turnout. If 2,000 people went to incubation, how many, what is the mortality rate, what's the success rate, and also where? Is it in our towns, is it in our rural, what? So maybe it's just a breakdown on all of those, again, with the TREP indicated there was a target of, I think, a delivery of 6,700. Again, that sounds quite significant. We just wanted to see how there is a bigger developmental impact. So maybe not now, but just maybe a comment. But in the reporting, if we can get or some good news stories where we actually see or get stories from people that go through the incubator process. I think the contract stuff and the vacancy issues have been linked to the merger process. So I think if we can also just get a comment around where we are, is there a roadmap towards the merger, and what's the next steps around the merger? I think those are some of my comments. But I think overly, I also with the CIFA presentation, we note the economic conditions and access to finance is a clear indication of people's situation. But you know, we see that we're on the turnaround. That hopefully the interest rate will go down much more faster, and we're going towards an economic growth in the terms of the cycle. And so I'm keen to hear CEO of CIFA, what are the type of innovative products that we can put to the market? Because if we want to motivate to National Treasury that we are the custodians of providing affordable financial instruments, we need to be innovative. And so I'm hoping you and your team can maybe help us understand what will be these innovative products. Because we know we need more money, but you need to spend all the money, and you need to also get our people to ensure that they pay back the money. You see, the culture of non-payment is a big problem, and if we don't pay it forward, if I get a loan and I'm now a thriving business person and I don't pay my loan back, a new budding business person can't get a new loan. So those are some of the inputs. I also want to, maybe DG, I saw some news and adverts, if there is any announcements of particular programs that you want to push or you advertise into the public, feel free to share it with members also here in this public space. So those are some of my my inputs, colleagues. I think let's start. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yes. I see Honorable Matulelwa. I was wondering why you're so quiet. Please proceed.
I'm so sorry. I'm in a very, very, very tight space, but it's fine. I've been trying also to raise my head. I don't know this gadget today. I'm using a different gadget. I've been trying.
No worries. Please proceed.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry that I've just raised my hand after you have just put your inputs. But mine was very short and simple. I've read even all the reports before, I think yesterday, I got them yesterday. And then with the FIDA, the same issue I wanted to raise, their visibility is not fixed until today. How? In municipalities, we ask them to be visible in municipalities, because it can't be that there's only central office in a region, somewhere in a region, so that some of the sub-regions are 5. In Zululand, we've got 5. But we don't have CIDA. I did not see any CIDA anywhere there. So I wanted to say that visibility is very important. They must also have increased their way of approach but get to people, because this thing of only waiting for people to come to their offices also is not assisting. As we are all serving our people, I think it's fair enough to go back to basics. Let's go and announce that the CIDA will be there on Wednesday or somewhere in the week in this so-and-so municipality. Let's just go and advise our people to come and know ourselves. And then, two, I'm going to CIFA. CIFA, there is a very, very, very concerning issue that I don't know. I'm not happy with this CIFA thing, because CIFA See, as far as we are in our understanding, after our all oversight we did, there is a very, very much loss that we have of the taxpayers' money. I think as this portfolio committee chair, we have to come to a conclusion. If CIFA doesn't change the way it ends on a call, we have to take a position as this portfolio committee to say CIFA must close down. The department must do the responsibilities in the meantime while we are getting a permanent solution. No, we can't continue with this style of CIFA having not accounting for the money, giving people monies and then they are not paid. The same story, other meeting, the same story. We have to, as the portfolio committee, to recommend to the minister or to the, where we can just say, okay, no, we want CIFA to be cut off. So that we are left with CIDA and the department, and then the services that are done by CIFA must be done directly by the department. I think that is fair enough. Because I'm not happy with everything that I've read, with everything that was presented here. I'm not happy. Because seriously, this money was going to change many lives, many small businesses. Saloons are suffering. Those street vendors are suffering. The people that have put their applications, they are suffering. Even in Joburg, where we think people, we've got many reports that people cannot access funds in CIFA. In Gauteng, where we believe that, okay, now that Eastern Cape is rural and the Northern KwaZulu-Natal is rural, maybe is the challenge is because they are in a rural. But it can't be in a city of Gauteng. People are suffering and they don't get support. Chairperson, thank you. I wanted to say that let's work together to assist our people to register, because this thing of registration is very, very, very much important. And this registration, Chair, you will be shocked. I was trying to help people. I think I have managed to help people, but 30 of them, only 30, they are in the system. You can't assist them because they were put in the system and their details are kept by those people that are consultant or whoever. And there are nowhere to be found. People, they can't re-register or they are stuck because their registration was in between, not finished. And then now they were not given any login details. I think that is a criminal act as well. We have to regulate these things also to say if you are a consultant, you don't keep the login details of the CK of some of the small businesses. I don't want to waste time, Chair, sorry to take if I've taken long. But I wanted to put all these three concerns in these all entities. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Matulelwa. Is that a legacy hand, Honourable Plumilang, or do you want to have another bite?
No, sir, I want to have another bite and clarify one issue. Okay. I remember one of the members, I don't remember who said, raised an issue which is very important about the progress on the Business Amendment Bill and the National Small Enterprise Amendment Bill. But I wanted to say, I hope my memory serves me well, that last year, December, we attended to the National Small Enterprise Amendment Bill, which means the progress that must be reported is only about the Business Amendment Bill. And Chair, Honorable Matulelo is very important because she reminded me, because I wanted to ask the issue of the rezoning, the delays in the rezoning process, which can result in business being forced to operate illegal or going out of business. So I think it was the last 2 points that I wanted to come in for. Thank you, Chair. And my apology for coming after when we have summarized some of the inputs.
No worries. Okay, colleagues, so I'm going to hand over back to the department and the entities. Also, DG, I think you did mention about the business license, but I think if you can just say when will this be concluded, especially the permits at the municipal level. we still have some municipalities not creating an enabling environment. In fact, most of the metros are not creating that enabling environment. And we spoke about either a business license or a bylaw from SALGA. Just give us updates on those things. Anyway, let's hear from your team. Maybe we should start, did you okay with, start with Tida, okay? Chairperson and CEO of CEDA. Quick comments on the issues raised by members.
PE, can go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will quickly just go through. I think there's about two or three issues on CEDA's side. The first one is regarding the Honorable Muller, regarding the AG, the matters that were raised by AG, and what we implemented today, because we've been having these findings, and we started working on a system, to a new system rather, to capture information, so every information that we have can then be verified easily by AG. Through our branches, that took us 2 years to complete, because the developing system is not a, it averages around that period, because we had to develop a system from scratch. We have finished, since finished or completed that project, we started utilizing the system fully from the 1st of October, and we are now reporting the results from the system. That's one measure that we've put in place to trying to solve the issue that AG had raised. We then are saying that quarter four will also be coming from the system, but we still have quarter one and quarter two that were manual. So we have firm belief that as from the 1st of April going forward, then essentially we won't have the same issues, because we fixed in terms of the system. We've also dealt with the issues of guidelines following COPTA and the center guidelines in terms of demarcating the issues of rural and urban and so forth, because that was also a big challenge. We partnered with CIFA on that to make sure that we have the right methodology to make sure that the demarcation is correct. So we've done that and approved those guidelines. So that issue should not be an issue. However, as I said, the system started in the middle of the year, so we believe that as from the next financial year, we will not have these issues raised by AG. We may have some by end of the financial year, but we have sorted that now. The issue around cooperatives, we have advertised for the cooperative program, which closed, and we are dedicating to make sure that the funds get to the cooperatives by quarter four. We didn't meet that target in quarter three, which impacted on the department's target as well. And then I would like to, Honorable Chair, you raised some few matters. I believe that we need to augment our report, the next quarter report, maybe to give more of these success stories on incubation, and more of these success stories also on TREP, like we are giving success stories on international trade and so forth. So we need to just, and also we gave more this quarter on the work we're doing on persons with disabilities. So we'll do more success stories than ever meant the report as we had requested. Honorable Matulelo, I acknowledge the issue of disability. We had fixed this issue using the access points. We were torn in terms, I think we need to, maybe let me just put it like this, we need to advertise it more, because in, for example, in Zululand, we have one access point that will be running in Mulundi, one in Pongola, and we're also fixing some in Mukanyagut and so forth, because we acknowledge that for the KZN, Zululand didn't have an office. So we have an access point now. We were torn between Honorable Chair and members, fully branding these access points because of the merger, because we believe that now that we've done them now, if we do brand them fully, again, we'll have to brand them again on the, with the new entity logos and so forth, probably by April or May. So we then said, let's probably, instead of wasting the taxpayer's money in doing the branding, let's wait for the new financial year when the merger is complete to brand it once. And that was a decision that we had to make. But we need to advertise them, provide a list maybe of all these access points, and then make sure that then they are known. On the issue of the awareness and so forth, we do have awarenesses across, but maybe Jefferson, a different way of doing it is to maybe publish all monthly awareness sessions, you know, on our website for different provinces going forward, so that then they can be easily accessible instead of distributing it in the areas where we are dealing with these events. But I think the access points, we've developed about 80, actually now is 79 because we had to cancel one, access points in different areas where we're not accessible, and we just need to market them different, but SMEs know where to go, and the branches will do that work and make sure that that work doesn't go in vain. I think those are the issues that we raised on CEDA, but I do acknowledge that we need to do a little bit more work on advertising what we, the beautiful thing that we created, which is access points. Thank you.
Thank you so much, CEDA. Let's move to CIFA, Chair and CEO of CIFA. Your comments in response to the issues by members.
With the permission of my chair, I'd like to address these issues. There was an issue raised by Honourable Favour around the disbursements to what I call less economically strong provinces. Chair, you realize that where we have a presence of the partnerships with our micro-lending institutions, we've seen a turnaround of improvement, like Limpopo, because we've got Surf and Pakamani, then Mpumalanga. They've now opened offices in KZN, Northwest and the Eastern Cape, and we're beginning to see a turnaround. What are we doing now? In fact, my team the past week have been on the ground in the Northern Cape, visiting different towns there in the Northern Cape to see how we could build other, what we call a partnership there, so that we spread the presence of our micro-lending businesses beyond our direct lending. So there's work that we're doing there, Chair, to increase the presence. And that if members can look at the turnaround that we saw in the Northwest, Eastern Cape and KZN, the moment we're able to set up those partnerships. So, Chair, that's the approach that we're going to be using to build our presence there through these partnerships, because they work for us, Chair, and they cost less operationally, because you don't have to roll out any office infrastructure and one body. So that's the work that we will be looking at, Jefferson, beyond just your trap and direct lending. I think that answer, Chair, will also respond to Honourable Mula around the criteria that we use to finance activities. But the other issue that the Minister initiated was to, Chair, work with these government departments, provincial, national, and even municipalities, to have some form of MOUs that will actually guarantee CIFA that these, what we call, government or state entities will honor the sessions. Our biggest threat, Jefferson, is the failure by public entities and government departments and municipalities to honor the session, because our form of security is CIFA. When we give funding to a client to deliver a tender or supply to government in session. Now, if these government departments dishonor those sessions by paying the money directly to the service provider, and the service provider runs away and never pays people, it compromises our funding, actually, as an institution. So the Minister is pushing that we need to have MOUs with these government departments and municipalities where they will commit, Chair, that should they dishonor the session,
that relevant department will be liable to pay SEPA. So we were working towards that arrangement itself. The issue of innovative funding products, Chair, as you asked, we were working, Chair, on creating new products that are going to have impact in the economy. We are introducing a product that we call professional funding product, where we want to fund your doctors to set up these surgeries and day clinics, but also share within that there are these nurses who provide basic education and screening. We want also to look at the, most of them are retired nurses who are set up in these communities, so that you don't just look at your doctors, but you also work with these nurses who are much more accessible to these communities. I remember, Chair, as a young child in the Eastern Cape, we used to have what was called onombilo, or your health workers, who would work with the communities, dealing with them, even what we call education, health education for the community members. And we believe that if we were to also support those health workers to set up those basic health support centers, we would be able to do that. Also, looking, Chair, at supporting your artisans, particularly in the after-sales service, in the auto mechanic space, that's one area that we want to promote, and also providing support to other professionals to set up, like your lawyers, etc. So those are some of the products, and also the partnerships, Chair, the ESG partnerships with the corporates is one area that we're driving aggressively. And we want to test another product of crowdfunding, Chair, so that we access more funding for the SMEs. These are proposals, Chair, that will actually emerge in the new financial year as we roll out them, Chair. And to our view, Chair, that these are responding actually directly to the challenges that we face as a country around the unemployment of professionals and also access to health care. The issues raised by Honorable Matulela around the hair salons and informal traders, SEPA, we're doing a lot of work, Chair, in that regard through TRAP. And we've dispersed quite a large sum of money in that area. But we had the challenge in quarter one and quarter two, Chair, where the repayment rate was very low. We had at a certain stage where trapped repayments were sitting at 14%, which meant that for every rand we dispersed, we're only going to get back 14 cents. We've seen some improvement where it has gone to 24 cents, which is still not good enough. But we have decided also to work through partnerships now, where we actually work with our funding partners to drive the rollout of TRAP. And we will be actually taking some proposals to the board for approval for those new approaches, so that we continue driving the TRAP program in the township and rural areas. That's the work that is on the pipeline, Chair, to make a difference really in the economy through this direct intervention. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. From the department side, I will start with the one of the incubation. The sector focus at the hybrid incubation strategy that was supposed to be revised on based on the stakeholder input, like I have presented. During the third quarter, the consultation were ongoing. As such, the consultation was going to miss out on the input from certain stakeholders. Hence, it was therefore decided to finalize the consultations first. But again, there were also the issue that we needed thorough engagement within our own portfolio as well, to make sure that all the inputs are covered. But we are on track to have the support strategy revised by the end of Q4. But it's also important to note that this target, like I presented, has since been reached with EXCO having approved the catch-up plan or the strategy yesterday. So because of that, we will be able to make some serious inroads. On the issue of the business licensing bill,
but I know that the colleagues that are here from the department will also add if I need something, but hopefully I'll be able in the interest of time to cover most. The business licensing amendment bill, we all know that this bill is very important because it deals with very complex issues and has been thoroughly reviewed by the OXLA. Our department, therefore, we are currently busy with the final iteration of the bill. The department, we have also developed a business licensing policy, which has been approved by Cabinet for gazetting for public comments, and the policy is currently en route to government printers for gazetting. And this is also this is also to ensure that the issues dealt with in the bill have been thoroughly subjected to public consultation and also a scrutiny. On the issue of, there was an issue again of the merger. I can report that this particular matter, there is some steady progress in moving towards the incorporation of CIFA and the CBDA into CEDA. Again, the bill is currently being finalized through the NCOP, as we all know, and at more operational level, we have established work streams because we are not waiting for that to happen. We have we are establishing work streams so that by the time we get the final go ahead, at least there's work being done, and we are looking at the work streams dealing with the issues of strategy, the issues of systems, ICT systems, HR finances, change management. And we have established an amalgamation committee, which have representation from various boards of all the entities that I've mentioned to drive this. And we all report to JOF, which is the Joint Operation Forum that is actually chaired by the minister. But there is some progress that we actually see. On the issue of the non-payment of invoices, or what is it that we do with those with the invoices? One, I can safely report that one of the issues the minister wrote to all the departments, firstly, was to thank those departments that honor this issue of 30-day payment, but again, to also caution those departments that are not observing the issue of the 30-day payment or earlier. And like I said, our department, it's easy for us to talk about those issues, because like I presented in all the quarters, we are doing very well in that particular space. And also, again, to know that the office of the small... Yes.
Just on this point, I want to... Sorry for breaking your word, but I think what we need to do is now to start naming and shaming some of these departments. What we need to do is maybe next time, or maybe through our secretariat, you give us a sense of what departments are failing to honour these agreements of 30-day payments and also the honor agreement with the CIPA, because it's now unacceptable that our own departments are not supporting small business. I just thought I'd make that intervention. So please just note that and then you can proceed.
Yes, thank you very much. That is noted. Thank you, Chairperson, for that guidance. And again, still on the issue of the invoices, I mean, the Office of the Small Enterprise Ombuds that is being established in terms of the NSEA bill, it will provide a critical mechanism to deal with non-payment. And it will be very clear, because that issue that Chair, you are talking about will be attended to. And we are working with National Treasury to look at how to tackle non-payment and late payment, including tracking delinquent invoices and session arrangements. And this is actually work in progress. But because of the instruments that we are dealing with, DDG Mahele in particular, who is online, is working on an instrument that will assist us and also empower us to be able to come here and be able to name and shame. There was an issue around the issue of the red tape and what has happened, and I'm sure that DDG Mahele might want to add, but from my side, I must say that this usually is not something very easy because of all the other role players. But we as DSPD, what we are doing is raising awareness at municipal level around the red tape issues that affect small businesses. And also this includes your issues, the issue that was raised here, including the zoning delays, because that, again, is one of the big issues that we have to deal with. Your issues of supply chain inefficiencies, service delivery disruptions, and so on. And part of this is sharing also the issue of best practices. We are also making sure that working with COPTA and SAUGA, we beef up municipal capacity, specifically the LED units, to better address this issue of the red tape, because not only us as department will do that, but working with the LED units, we are able to then deal with this issue. And some of these issues are also dealt with in the business licensing policy, specifically the need to manage business licensing in a manner that doesn't further constrain small businesses. We're also working with provincial governments to enable them to better monitor red tape reduction in each province. So that is the work that we are currently doing. And then there was an issue on the issue of the vacancy rate. Very true. Again, one of the issues is that people come in, people leave. I was actually, yesterday we had the Exco and the CFO was saying, you know, there's somebody that joined the department beginning of the month, but now towards the end of the month, the person is already serving notice. So we are always playing catch up, but we need to find strategies to make sure that we do maintain, because although we are making some steady progress, we do still have a relatively high vacancy rate, which does impact on the departmental performance. And also, we also mitigate this through contract appointments, like I mentioned, better integration with our entities on work that can be performed by the entities, as well as partnership with other ecosystem role players. Again, the issue of the budget cuts came and also hamstrung us, and the fact that we must accommodate the COE salary adjustment within existing budget, which will further impact our capacity to fill these vacancies. But yes, we do have a recruitment plan that we are actually trying hard to follow, irrespective of all the issues that we are facing. There was an issue on the cooperative funding, and I know Philip is online to add on what I will say, that the co-op funding policy is part of the SMME and cooperative funding policy, and the policy has been it has been to cabinet and gazetted for public comment, and these comments have now been integrated into our final draft, which is about to go to cabinet. The policy motivates for a fund of funds, which will, among other things, provide more funding for cooperatives and also the SMMEs. I think I have tried to cover the issues that have been raised in as far as the department is concerned, unless there is a DDG who's itching that I left a very important point. I will allow Chairperson for under a minute for that DDG and on that. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Any inputs from DDGs? I think DDG were very comprehensive. Just make the announcement. I saw a poster around call for proposals, and I think there's a closing date. Maybe just share with members if that's not fake news, if that's indeed the case.
Procedure, yes.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Honourable Chair. Yes, indeed. The DG spoke and the CFO spoke about the money that was prioritized to see that, which we got now in January. So we're running the program to make sure that at least we try and spend or commit the money that we've just received by end of March. So we do currently have one program that is open, which is the Asset Assist program, targeting the grant program for 250,000 SMME, targeting SMEs this time, because the cooperatives one was closed before this one. So the call is closing on the 1st of March, and we would like to say that we know that there's issues of the closing date and so forth, but as an organization, we also at the same time need to make sure that the funds are spent before the end of March. So we need to adjudicate, award, and buy the equipment for the SMME. So we're saying that let the SMEs who are ready submit their applications. We do have an allocation again for the next financial year, which will open for SMEs in the new financial year for those who are not ready currently. But the post is not fake news. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Great stuff. Thanks for that clarity and great. Colleagues, I think we've exhausted the topic of the performance reviews. I think in summary, we are pleased with the performance of the department. Yes, there is areas of room for improvement. We know we are in difficult times. We accept the externalities of the economy, the growth, the rates and the impairments and all of that. But despite all of that, I think what we're asking from our leadership, especially our political leadership and the administration, led by yourself, DG, is just to persevere. Please continue to serve our people with diligence, with commitment, with professionalism, with transparency. We are committed to clean governance, effective governance, and also big development impact for the investment that our taxpayers are paying. So please proceed with that. The areas of room for improvement, focus on that as leadership. Here we don't want you to make excuses or explain the problems. We're looking for leadership, and you need to come up with innovatives to solve the problems and or even guide us policymakers to say these things must change. So we note the progress for all these reports. I think what's the procedure, Mr. Kunene? Do we just call for the adoption of all of these reports? Can you come in here?
Thank you, Chairperson. There's no need to adopt them because it's statutory that they report on a quarterly basis. The portfolio committee has welcomed the report as they comply to the obligation. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for that clarity. So we don't have to, I think what we could do is just to say thank you again to DJ and team, CIFA, CIDA and the department. We appreciate the work that you've done, but we'll always keep you on your toes. We can release you, and then I think we're asking members to stay behind so that we can go through the last item agenda, which is adoption of the minutes. So again, thank you to the team, and keep up the good work. We are going to ensure that you be kept accountable. The areas that members have raised about your presence, about areas of improvement, please focus on those things so that we constantly serve our people better and with commitment and diligence. Thank you very much, everybody. We
thank
will
you,
now
sir.
Release the team.
Thank you.
Okay, so colleagues, what we'll do is we'll just quickly go through, I'll ask Mr. Kunene just to go through the minutes, and then those members that was in the meeting, we're inviting them to give inputs and hopefully adopt the minutes. Let's start. Let's start with the first set of minutes, the minutes of the 5th of October.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry, I was just trying to streamline them. We shall start with the minutes of the... Because they are not in order, let's just start with the one that appear. We can
okay.
Start with the one of the 28th of November, where we were dealing with the briefing and presentation on national oral submission of the National Small Enterprise Bill. So I believe members, they did go through the minutes. It was the opening, apologies, was of Mr. de Villiers. It was briefing and trade on the National Enterprise Amendment Bill. And then it was done by us, and then we indicated which stakeholders participated, and then on deliberation, members of the committee would welcome all presentation matters raised and propose that the various steps to strengthen the bill, and the resolution was that matters raised on submission be considered when deliberations are conducted in the development of the A list. So that's the, those are, these are the minutes for that date.
Can I call for a mover and a seconder of this minute as an accuracy reflection?
Chair?
Honourable Tommy Lang?
I move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what transpired. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief Hope. I thank you both. Can I get a seconder?
I do second, Chief.
Thank you, Honourable Lubengo. Okay, so those minutes are approved. Let's go to the next set, Mr. Kunene.
Let's go to the last week's minutes, Chair.
Okay.
I'll go back to others. Tell that they are not streamlined according to dates when picking them up. This one, it was the election of the chairperson, consideration of 24 first-term committee program, consideration of German study tour report, and consideration adoption of committee meetings. So remember that the minutes, committee minutes were deferred due to time. Most members were to attend the
the budget speech.
The budget speech. Thank you very much, Whip. So these are the minutes.
Okay, members, let's call for the mover and a seconder for this minute. Members, can I get a mover?
Chair, I'm not for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Lubengo. Can I get a seconder?
I do second, Chair.
Thank you, Wok. Let's proceed.
Let's have the minutes of the 10th of October, 2023. These minutes, we had the briefing on 2022-23, audit come of the department by the Auditor General. We are considering and adopting the 2023 fourth quarter committee program, and we were considering an adoption of committee minutes of 30 August, 6 September, 13 September, and 20 September. So these were in attendance, and then we did the program was adopted, and then the presentation was made by the Auditor General on the findings, and then on deliberations, members uploaded achievement of clean audit by the department and undertook to pay particular attention to CISA and CIFA on stagnation and the regression. Furthermore, expressed a concern on finding of irregular expenditure amounting to 6.3 million. So those were the discussed on deliberation, and thereafter minutes of 30 August, 13 September, 20 September were considered and adopted. And then we also presented the program for, still remember that we're preparing for public hearings, and then the resolution was that the committee should commit and ensure their participation in public hearings so that the legislation on this table can be finalized within the period envisaged of the FINA, and recommendation of presentation should be also reported. So these were the minutes of that particular date, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's call for movers and seconders.
I do move for the adoption, Chair.
Thank you, Whip. You get a seconder? Can I get a seconder?
Oh, second.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Lubenga. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let's go to the next one. This was the 10th of October. This was the minutes of the 11th October, where we were receiving briefing on 22-23 annual performance report of the department, CIFA and CIFA. Remember, it was in preparation for the by the BEE111 report. And then then we got a briefing from the annual performance of the department with the achievements and the underachievements, the CIFA with their achievement and underachievements, and then the CIDA with the achievement and underachievements, and then the deliberations, and then on the recommendations. It was indicated that the recommendation will be in the BEE111, and I believe that yes, the DIPRAL was adopted. Those recommendations, observation and recommendation, were considered. So these are the minutes, Chairperson, of 11 October 2023.
Thank you. Mover? Can we get a mover?
I didn't move, Chair.
Thank you. Seconder?
I second.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Lubengo and Sabilang. Minutes are duly adopted. Is there still...
Yes.
4 minutes? Is that it, or is it still more minutes?
There are still others here.
Okay.
Minutes of 30 November. Deliberation and adoption of public participation report and comments by the Parliament Legal Services. Remember, it was after the public hearings, and then the coded advisor presented all the reports on the public participation, and then also it was a report from the legal services. And then on deliberation, it was the clauses that were shown an interest and some submissions on them. And then the resolution was that matters that came out strongly to be inserted in the bid when developing an A list. So those are the minutes of the 30th of November 2023, Chair.
Thank you. Members, can I get a move in a second? Members?
I do not sure. I'm not for that.
Okay.
Why second, Chair? Sorry.
Okay. So Honorable Lubengo moves and Honorable Plamelang seconds. Thank you. Thank you for your willingness to second. I'm not sure what's happening with the other members. Maybe we'll give them also an opportunity. Next minute.
Why is that still flaky? Oh, Mr. Mueni, Honorable Mueni is struggling. He's from another village to... She attended one of the programs. Apparently, there is no loopback. He just sent the message now.
Okay.
Yes.
Chair, these are the minutes of 29 November, where the department was responding on oral and written submissions on the National Small Enterprise Amendment Bill, and then we're considering an updated fourth quarter committee program. Remember that it was after the public hearings, and then we had to amend the quarter program so that it can reflect the new dates for consideration of the bill, as we were supposed to finish it by the 5th of December. So we then have that consideration of the program, which was adopted, and it was a briefing by the response from the department on the meter raised in the public hearings. And then on the resolution, the committee resolved that matters that came out strongly to be inserted in the A list. So those are the minutes of the 30th of November. Of the 29th of November 2023.
There you have it, the minutes. Can I get a move in a second?
I do move, Chair.
Thank you. Second?
I do second, Chair.
Thank you so much. Next. Minutes are duly adopted. Okay, maybe if I want us to move a little bit faster with the minutes.
Okay.
Let's just go through it quickly, and I'm going to call members.
Of 18 October, it was concerned of 23 budget review commission report and progress on preparation for provincial public hearings. We tabled the PRRR by the Conan advisor. And then we also got the feedback on the preparation for provincial public hearings. And then on the resolutions, they would say that all points raised by members of the committee incorporated in the report, and secretary must proceed with public hearing preparation, and members should ensure that they commit themselves fully to participation in the program for public hearings. Here they are, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Okay, 18 October.
Can I get a mover and a seconder?
I move, Chair. I move for the adoption of this minute.
Thank you, Honorable Lubengo. Seconder?
I do second, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Samilang. The minutes of the 18th of October, Julie. Supported. Next.
We'll have there. Minute of 5 December, where it was the consideration adoption of motion of desirability for the National Small Enterprise Amendment Bill, consideration adoption of B16A list of amendments from PC, and consideration adoption of the National Small Enterprise Amendment Bill, and consideration adoption of the Small Enterprise Amendment Bill report. So it was after the public hearings, consideration of A and B list and all the changes that were made, and then it was tabled, this motion of desirability, consideration of A, of B list. If we say B list, that was those changes that members wanted to be included. We're doing clause by clause, and then it was the consideration of the report of the bill that was done, and then there was an objection from the EFF, and then on the resolution was that the report be considered in the National Assembly and second reading be done in the Assembly. So those are the minutes of the 5th of December 2023. Thank you, Chair.
Mover?
I do move, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Flamilang. Seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Lubengo. Minutes is duly adopted.
Then we'll go for the last set, Chairperson. Yes.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, I think we've come to the end of our portfolio committee. I want to thank all members for your valuable contribution. We appreciate the contributions that everybody made. The meeting stand adjourned, and we'll see each other in the house. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.